The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, September 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the United States Geological Survey reports a magnitude 3.1 earthquake hit near Freehold, New Jersey early Wednesday morning. The earthquake, which began at 2 a.m., is not reported to have caused any serious damage or injuries. Several social media users across the state reported feeling vibration. Some even thought there was an explosion. At 2 a.m., a trembler was felt in much of central New Jersey, according to the National Weather Service. Shaking and loud bangs were reported, but no injuries or immediate known damage. The earthquake, although small, is also relatively uncommon in the region. A 2.7 earthquake was reported in Bernardsville, New Jersey, in 2015. The Greater Delaware Valley region felt tremors after a 4.1 magnitude earthquake struck near Dover, Delaware back in December of 2017. And on August 23rd in 2011, a 5.8 magnitude earthquake in central Virginia shook buildings in the tri-state area.
The December one was during the Camp Out for Hunger. Yeah, I remember that.
You guys all felt it, right?
Yeah, it was wild. We were in the RV.
I was. You weren't there because it shook, and I'm like, I'm alone.
Yeah.
Why is this moving?
Man, he must be pounding.
You had gone over to the hotel.
Was
because,
that it?
Yeah, okay, that was it. Because I'd never felt one. I know you felt one.
Yeah,
lived in California, and I didn't realize it until hours later when I saw the news story. I'm like, that was it. I felt it. But that I remember how odd it was because it was shaking, it was rocking back and forth, and I'm like, I'm the only one in here. This is really weird. So yeah.
Yeah,
I do recall that one.
Yeah, crazy. So another one late or in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. In Freehold, New Jersey. Late stage studies of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine candidate are on temporary hold while the company investigates if a report of a patient with a serious side effect is linked to the shot.
Is it AstraZeneca?
AstraZeneca,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What did I say?
AstraZeneca.
Oh, in a statement issued Tuesday evening, the company said it's a standard review process triggered a pause to vaccination to allow review of the safety data. They didn't reveal any information about the possible side effect except to call it a potential unexplained illness.
I heard that the patient's head fell off.
No!
Yeah.
No, man.
Side effect.
That
was a terrible side effect.
Yeah.
The news site Stat first reported the pause in testing, saying the possible side effect occurred in the United Kingdom. Now, the company a spokesperson confirmed the pause in vaccination covers studies in the United States and other countries. Late last month, they began recruiting 30,000 people in the U.S. for its largest study of the vaccine. It also is testing the vaccine developed by Oxford University in thousands of people in Britain and smaller studies in Brazil and South Africa. Two other vaccines are in huge final stage testing in the United States, one made by Moderna and the other by Pfizer and Germany's BioNTech. Those two vaccines work differently than the others, and the study already has recruited about two-thirds of the needed volunteers. Temporary holds of large medical studies aren't unusual, and investigating any serious or unexpected reaction is a mandatory part of the safety testing.
I believe the composer Andrew Lloyd Webber actually volunteered to be one of the test subjects for one of the vaccines. Which is pretty wild because he's in the, he's older. So I figured he would.
Oh, wow.
And they asked and he did it.
And he did it.
That's what I understand. Or that's a complete lie.
The announcement.
One of the two.
Yeah.
One of the two. The announcement follows worries that President Donald Trump will pressure the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to approve a vaccine before it's proven to be safe and effective. The U.S. invested billions of dollars in efforts to quickly develop multiple vaccines against COVID-19, but public fears that a vaccine is unsafe or ineffective could be disastrous, derailing the effort to vaccinate millions of Americans. Restaurants in most of Pennsylvania can fill up to 50% occupancy inside starting September 21st, Governor Tom Wolf announced yesterday. Indoor dining capacity at restaurants was previously limited to 25% to adhere to social distancing rules in the coronavirus pandemic before they are allowed to increase indoor capacity. Restaurant owners have until October 5th to fill out a form with the state showing that they're open and certified and following all the latest health guidelines. Consumers will be able to access an online database of certified businesses in the area, ensuring that they can make a more informed choice about what restaurants they wish to visit. The state will need to know the businesses maximum occupancy, and the owner will need to commit to the following the guidelines. Any false information contained in the certificate could result in a second-degree misdemeanor charge. The state says starting September 21st, restaurants that have alcohol sales have to stop selling alcohol at 10 p.m. Restaurants that complete the form will receive open and certified signs from the state that can be displayed. Starting October 5th, state inspectors will start checking if the restaurant has been self-certified. The announcement does not apply to Philadelphia, where Pennsylvania's allowed Philly Health Department to guide decisions on reopening, usually at a more cautious pace than the rest of the state. But with this going into effect at 50%, they're saying they still have to follow the social distancing guidelines and wearing the masks. And, you know, you can't get alcohol unless you order food. All that will stay in place. But now they can bring more people inside.
A number of restaurants were, and people that we know who are in the restaurant business were saying 25% wasn't even worth opening up. You know, so at this point, 50 at least gives them a shot, especially if they can stay open outside.
Yeah, keep the outside open. Right.
You give them a fighting chance.
Yeah, the 6 feet apart. Yeah, well, you know what? I was talking about it last night, and there are some smaller restaurants where even with this 50%, they're not going to be able to do it because they can't get the 6 feet between tables.
Right, right, yeah.
But some of the larger restaurants that, I mean, look like they're empty at this point, at least they'll be able to get some more people in there. All right, in sports this morning. The Phillies and the Red Sox split the games in yesterday's doubleheader. In the first game, the Phillies won 6-5. Alec Bohm hit a two-out, two-run single in the seventh inning to rally the Phillies. Bohm drove in four runs with three hits, including his winner off Matt Barnes in the bottom of the seventh. In game two, the Red Sox scored two runs in the sixth and added another in the seventh on their way to a 5-2 win. The Phillies started a run of five doubleheaders, all of them seven-inning games in between now and September 22nd, with a stretch of 19 games in 15 days. They actually have the day off today before opening up a seven-game series in Miami against the Marlins starting tomorrow. In the NBA playoffs, Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat are headed to the Eastern Conference Finals. The fifth-seeded Heat finished off an upset of the NBA's best regular season team, beating the Milwaukee Bucks 103-94 in Game 5 of their East semifinal series. The Heat won the series 4-1 and will face either Boston or Toronto when the NBA Final Four gets underway next week. In the Western Conference, LeBron James scored 36 points, and the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Houston Rockets 112-102 to take a 2-1 lead in that series. And in the NHL playoffs, the Golden Knights scored three goals in less than 10 minutes, beating the Dallas Stars 3-0. Robin Leonard stopped all 24 shots he faced. The series is now tied at one game apiece, and Game 3 is tomorrow night. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy, for that stellar news report this morning as we get started on a Wednesday together. Wednesdays mean a couple of things. Secret text words.
Yeah.
So that's one of them. And we have a chance for you to win a digital download. And I know you've been waiting for this. The complete fifth season of Supergirl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Text the word secret to 393.
That's the best season.
39333. We will send a word back to you, and then we'll ask you to call in with that word later on. Designated caller wins. We'll also grab a random text or two. Speaking of Supergirl, though, Steve, I finally watched the third episode of The Vow, which is about Nexium.
Yeah.
With the sex cult and the branding and all that. And Allison Mack, who was on this show.
Yes.
Wow, dude.
Loony.
I mean, that show is insane.
Yeah. In fact,
that whole scenario is insane, but the fact that they have all this incredible footage, it's wow, is it compelling.
You know what, finally, in that, not to give too much away, and you have to watch it, especially if you like the special that HBO did on Scientology, but I never made the connection as to why they were getting these young female celebrities, these actresses. They had a Vancouver office, and so much of that TV is filmed in Vancouver.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Allison Mack, who was this, you know, girl next door sweetheart character.
Apple pie, yeah.
Was like second fiddle of the, I mean, of the nutties.
Completely enamored.
Yeah.
She, I don't want to give too much away, but probably one of the worst aspects of the whole thing is something she came up with.
All right. So how many, because I only watched the first episode, and that one, you're like, well, this thing seems like it's pretty
cool. And that's
cool.
what a good one does. Yeah. I said the same thing.
Yeah.
Like 95% of the way through, I'm going, well, these people seem to be very helped.
And these are good ideas.
Then a phone call comes through.
And you go, oh. And then the next episode, you're like,
what the F. So anyhow, that's called The Vow.
Looks like there's 9 episodes, Case.
Ooh, yay. There are only 3 in, so good. Ways to go. I love that. All right, anyhow, that's our secret text word, the Supergirl, the 5th season. And we also have a visit on Fox Good Day, so we'll go on TV this morning, see what's going on with Mike and Alex. What?
I forgot to write the name of our guest at 9:30.
I know who it is.
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking at my little info sheet. It just says here, promoting season 3 of AP Bio. Streaming now on the Peacock. And it doesn't have a name. But that's Glenn Howerton, of course, you know, is Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, a good friend of the Preston and Steve show.
I'm so glad that Hulu and Peacock stepped in to help this series, because it's very funny.
Yep. And, of course, we continue the A to Z. The homeschooled edition. We are in the O's. We're at the tail end of the O section of the countdown, and we got some Zeppelin, some Ozzy, some Yes that we'll get to, and then we move on to my favorite letter in the alphabet, P.
P. Course,
yes, yeah. So we
for
will
make, Rush.
For Rush, exactly. So we will make that transition, and we'll go through the songs and just enjoying the hell out of the Back to School A to Z this year, as we do every year. So these things and more are taking place. We'll come back in a second, and you know the routine. We have a stupid question and some entertainment stories. Wow, big bombshell. The world of reality television dropped. We'll get to that in a little bit. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, stupid question this morning. We are going to give away, by the way, a $50 Rita's gift card. And the question that I have for you concerns the trombone.
Oh, I played the trombone for about 9 minutes.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You wanted to play drums.
But, I desperately wanted to play
drums. But they were all full in band, and so they made you play the trombone, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It scarred me forever. You know, I have to keep bringing it up.
Well, let's see if you know the answer to this. What common office item is called little trombone in French?
Okay.
Le petit trombone.
And I actually know this one.
You do know this, do, really? Yeah. All right.
I'll write it down. I think I know
it. All right. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. What common office item is called the Le Petit Trombone? Even threw the little
That's
in
good.
The trombone. 215-263-WMMR. That's correct, Nick.
All right.
All right. Call now if you know the answer. Some birthdays today, Wednesday, September 9th. Actress Michelle Williams, who's on Dawson's Creek. And in Brokeback Mountain.
Who knew she would take off for the career that she's had? She's been. Yep. She just won an Emmy for playing Gwen Verdon and Manchester by the Sea. She's phenomenal. Great actress.
I liked her in Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yes. She's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. She's celebrating her 40th today.
Got some range on her.
Henry Thomas, who played Elliot in E.T.
I'm not coming back.
Is 49 years old today.
Did you see those the commercial
commercials?
They did? Yeah.
They were great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Him growing up.
There was an extended one that was like 7-8 minutes long.
Yeah, was it Verizon? Or what was it for? I don't know.
I can't remember the product. What effective marketing. I can't remember the product.
It was Xfinity, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. NBC Universal, Xfinity, Comcast,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so he turned.
Whatever.
Wow. Elliot's 49 today. Man. Hugh Grant, also a milestone birthday for him. There's a few of those today. He turned 60 years old.
He's in a lot of rom-coms.
Yes, he has done a lot of rom-coms.
He's talented.
Does he ever do any straight dramas?
He has, yeah. And he's good at them.
I'm trying to think of ones that come to mind. I can't.
He's so suited, though, for that sort of puffed up, you know, yes. British. Love Actually is, you know, so damn good.
It's excellent. Yeah. So happy 60th to him. It's also Adam Sandler's birthday. Adam is 54 today.
I remember when he first came on the scene. I actually saw him before he was on SNL at a club called Pips in Sheepshead Bay. And I was like, what the hell am I watching?
Was he all in that character, that Billy Madison?
There was a lot of that. Yeah. But he's incredibly funny, obviously.
Now I think about him and Bert Kreischer and the way that Kreischer was trying to kiss his
ass. Oh, my God.
Yeah. The beginning of quarantine, and Sandler was just like, all right.
So happy 54th to him. Also, Tom Wopat, Luke Duke of the Dukes of Hazzard.
We had him in the studio, did we not?
We did.
Yeah.
It was a while back. I think he was doing Chicago or something.
He was
like
doing
that.
Chicago. Yeah. It was before he was sort of, I think, accused of one of his co-stars.
Yeah, it was before that, right?
Feeling her up or something like that.
Uh-huh. He turns 69 today. Happy 69 to you, Tom Wopat. Dave Stewart, one half of the Eurythmics.
Big fan of the Eurythmics.
Is 68 years old. Yeah. Annie Lennox. Man, what a great voice on her.
So one of the great musical moments in my memory is the tribute to Freddie Mercury when she and David Bowie did Under Pressure.
It's amazing.
It was astonishing.
Yeah. She looked wild. She wore this black makeup across her eyes.
Like Blade Runner.
And they just destroyed it in a great way. Just absolutely amazing. But Dave is the songwriting genius behind Eurythmics. Yeah. And he, writing those songs is a huge, huge talent. Of course, he had an amazing performer in Annie Lennox to be the vehicle to share that music. But he's 68 today.
He worked with Petty on Don't Come Around Here No More, right?
Okay. I want to say, producer or writer or
I think he's
maybe that, both?
And then the video as well.
Okay. Mario Batali talking about some issues and some legal problems. He's 60 years old today, celebrity chef, and he would get a little handsy from what I understand.
Yeah, a lot handsy. It brought down the empire, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I got you.
Okay, so Steve, Inez Fox has a birthday today. I was not familiar with the name, but Inez Fox was the person who brought you this song. Not this version of it. But Mockingbird was the hit that Inez Fox had. Inez is 78 years old today.
They made us sing this song in school,
Did they?
Yeah, it was one of those. I don't know what the procedure is when you have different groups start singing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that if there's a technical name for
that. I don't know
if
there's a name for that.
Right, but that was, and it was a nightmare.
You mean like the Row, Row, Row Your Boat?
Exactly.
Where you sing a line and the person sings that same line and it's, I know what you're talking about.
It was
about.
Like mental torture for like 9-year-olds.
I loved it in the very first Vacation movie with, Griswold Clark and, God, what's her name? Beverly D'Angelo.
Name?
Yeah, what's her
name? That is a good question. She called him Sparky.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember her name. Anyhow, they sang Mockingbird, and it's Inez Fox's birthday today.
Nick, we know that name.
Going to find out who that is.
Ellen.
Ellen Griswold, of course.
Inez is 78 today. Eric Stone Street of Modern Family is 49 today.
Multiple Emmy wins for that role.
Yep.
It was excellent.
It's also Rachel Hunter's birthday today.
Ah.
Yes, Stacy's mom.
Yeah.
Some call her Annabelle.
But whatever you call her, you're going to spank yourself.
Rachel Hunter, I had a thing for her in a big, big, big way.
Yeah, I mean, Rod Stewart, man, I gotta give him credit.
I'm a sucker for redheads in the first place. Yeah. And then she's just like, well, it says here she's 50. That seems low to me.
She was 50 30 years
ago. It seems low to me, but I'm going by my info here. She had a travel show for a little while that I watched some of. It was actually really good. I was quite surprised at what a good host she was.
Huh.
And it was a decent show.
That's Stacy's mom video, though. That's everything you need to know.
Yes. All right. It says here on Wikipedia she's 52, right?
Ah, I knew it.
51.
Okay. Because they usually... Okay.
Even still.
51 years old today. But
same age as Eric Stone Street.
She's stunning. wait. It says here Eric Stone Street is 49.
Oh, no. You're right. I'm sorry. Yep.
Okay. And then the last birthday, friend of the show, United States Senator Chris Coons celebrates his birthday today. And he is 57 years old.
His commercial's running. He's up for re-election.
Always very generous when he stops by to Camp Out for Hunger. He's a very fun, nice guy, and he likes our show, and so we appreciate that. So happy birthday, Senator Coons, who is 57. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is, in French, what is the common office item that is referred to as le petit trombone? We will go to Aaron for the answer. Hey, Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Aaron, the Le Petit trombone is also known as the what?
Paperclip.
Paperclip.
Oh. That's your French uncle, Kathy.
That's what I was saying. I almost dropped the hint. Saying that it's related to Kathy, but nope. It's because of the way it swirls around. It looks like the tubing on a trombone.
Christ, I only wish I had to carry a paperclip to school. A trombone was huge.
Aaron, we are going to set you up with a $50 Rita's gift card, and summer is still on in full force at Rita's. You can head to Rita's for all your favorite delicious frozen treats. It's the summer of yum at Rita's. Let's start with this. After a long secretive romance with Jamie Foxx that ended last year, it seems that Katie Holmes is getting more comfy with PDAs.
Mm-hmm.
She was seen in full makeout mode with a guy named Emilio Vitolo Jr. During a date at Peasant Restaurant. Peasant. That's an interesting name for a restaurant. The 41-year-old Dawson's Creek alum was spotted perched on the 31-year-old chef's lap kissing.
Of course.
They were first spotted out in Soho last week.
I wonder if that was a mistype and it's actually Pheasant Restaurant.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
You want to look it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, check it out. But I would like to go to a peasant restaurant. It's like the dinner version of Derelict.
That's what it's called. It's an Italian restaurant in New York City.
Okay. Vitolo works at Emilio Balato, which his father, also Emilio, bought in the 90s. The restaurant is a hot spot for celebs, fans, including Joe Jonas, Whoopi Goldberg, Justin Bieber, Bradley Cooper, and Rihanna will stop by. Vitolo has been spotted hanging out with Jonas, his wife Sophie Turner, and brother Nick Jonas and Bella Hadid.
What a magical collection.
A source says, Katie is like a teenager in love right now. He makes her giddy. Before dating Fox, of course, she was married to Tom Cruise. So people kind of keep an eye on what Katie's up to. Ellen DeGeneres' alleged toxic workplace environment extended to her home. This is according to insiders who spoke to the Daily Mail. So take it with a grain of salt.
Of course, yeah.
The insider who says they worked at one of her and wife Portia de Rossi's California homes for months said that DeGeneres' be kind mantra was a front. She said, my belief is that someone's real personality comes out at home. So after everything that has been said about her at work, you can imagine how terrible Ellen is going to be at home when her guard is down. The former employee claims DeGeneres gave workers a list of complaints from the previous day, such as coffee not being frothed well, food being served in the wrong bowl.
What's with this froth?
A salt shaker left in the wrong place. She also didn't like staffers using guest bathrooms. The insider says she treated you like you were nothing.
Okay.
She said that Ellen would yell and had an incredibly condescending tone. She was going to torture you, and you were just going to sit there and listen to it because you were being paid.
Wow.
The person adds, I was told she had a very high turnover and that I should stay under the radar as much as possible, avoid as much direct contact with Ellen as possible. Working there was described as being more like a boot camp. She said, and I quote, Ellen was the worst person I've ever met in my life.
Oh my God.
Now, you know somebody who worked for you, do you not?
Yes.
And that was not their experience, correct? It's
completely the other, right?
He said they were great.
Yeah.
He said that both Ellen and Portia were super duper nice.
Now, this is terrible. I hate this.
No, me too.
I don't necessarily believe this particular one.
I love
one.
Her. I don't want to believe it. And,
right.
like, if it's not true, I feel bad for them. You
Kathy,
know what I mean?
We live in a day and age of a source said, a friend said. And if, you know, no one goes, if you, no one comes down record and says, yeah, okay, somebody overheard. And I don't know. Listen, I think they sense blood in the water. So a lot of people are jumping on this.
Right.
But I don't know. You know?
I don't condone yelling and berating or anything like that. Now, some of this other stuff, it's like, dude, she's paying you, right? So if you're not making the coffee the way she wants it, and if you're not putting things back the way, and also
don't leave an upper decker in the guest bathroom,
and don't listen if she has, you know, 10 bathrooms and you're not allowed to use 8 of them, shut up. Go use the 2 that you're supposed to use.
Does Ellen know how much you stand up for her?
I am standing up for her because I love her so much. But again, like, listen, I'm paying you money. I want you to make me the coffee the way I want it made. I'm paying for it. God damn it.
All right. Now we know what it'd be, what your staff has to put
and
up
with. You're not putting... I almost
said, don't touch the thermostat!
If you're not...
It's a monster! I saw that! God damn!
I saw that!
You... You don't poke the bull. It's a monster.
I almost said what?
I almost dropped an S-bomb.
Oh.
But it's very, very similar to, like, you asking your children to, you know, do some chores around the house and them half-assing it and you yelling at them. It's like, that's not how it gets done. That's not how you do it.
Well, I think there's a way to, you obviously, I think you're right, though. You judge people by, I find, by the way they treat people, you know, waiters and waitresses and people who are doing them a service. I think that's as telling a thing as you can possibly see.
Oh, yeah. It is. But who's not to say that this is a lousy employee?
Somebody with a grudge. And listen.
How dare you tell me how to do my
what
job?
What kills me is somebody who's works for someone for like 20 years and then writes a tell-all book and then all the stuff comes out. It's like, go on the record. You're saying this, you know. But again, you know someone. You have direct contact with someone who worked for Ellen and Portia for years and had only good things to say. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt.
In fact, they wrote a foreword for his cookbook.
There you go.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, Hitler's staff is always saying he was such a bastard.
Right.
And look at him.
He was a terrible human being. All right. Here's the reality show bombshell that I alluded to when I teased the Entertainment Report yesterday.
Yes.
Kim Kardashian announced via Instagram that Keeping Up with the Kardashians will end after season 20. Yes.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
I just want you guys to proceed with caution here because I fear that they're stepping away.
It's a setup.
Because they're going to start their own network. I'm afraid that the Empire
really
is going to actually get bigger.
That's actually very savvy of you for someone who thinks the thermostat's a monster.
Yeah. I don't. No, listen, it's when the thermostat was analog,
okay,
man.
All right,
you have to understand my fears and trepidation.
That's actually very astute because they are tied into Ryan Seacrest and E and have been for a long time.
Oh, I hope you're wrong.
Me too.
Please.
But
in fact, there has to be a mandate.
If they did start their own network case, I don't see them dragging the cameras into their lives as much as they have with this show anymore. I think
they'll have other shows.
They'll have other shows, exactly. Yeah. Maybe they'll have their network, but they will recruit other people that we can hate.
Is it possible that people this narcissistic can actually get sick of having the focus be on them?
Maybe.
At some point,
I know it's a stretch.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems impossible that at some point you'd say, I want my privacy. But I think there have been a couple of things, especially with the relationship with Kanye and all that stuff, that maybe they'd prefer to not have highlighted as much.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Who'd have thought? Wow, Kim sucking on, you know, would lead to this.
Ray J. And chewing gum while she's doing it.
Was she chewing gum?
She was chewing gum.
He was chewing gum, too. He snapped. He's like, yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, he and that other Rick Solomon guy, they were snappers.
Yeah, that's exactly the same deal. Both of them. Both disgusting.
It
was actually a very good video.
She wrote, to our amazing fans, it is with heavy hearts that we've made the difficult decision as a family to say goodbye to Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She continued by saying, after what will be 14 years, 20 seasons, hundreds of episodes, and numerous spinoff shows, we are beyond grateful to all of you who've watched us for all these years, through the good times, the bad times, the happiness, the tears, and the many relationships and children.
I mean, I think I've probably watched all told 9 minutes.
Yeah, I've certainly never watched an entire show.
No. And we actually have the theme, I think. Even the theme is annoying for the Kardashians. But in the earlier years of the show, they'd be standing out in front of a house that wasn't even their house.
Okay.
But they were annoying right from the get-go.
She said, the show made us who we are, and I will forever be in debt to everyone who played a role in shaping our careers.
Wind, you guys? Is this necessary?
No change.
Awful. No, that is not cute.
Yeah, more. I need someone to make me laugh.
Where's Kim?
Kim is always late.
This is the theme song?
Yeah, well, this
the
is
whistling?
The whistling? Yeah, and where's Kim? We're getting the peg, Cheryl. Let's get out of the front lawn.
Get out of our way.
Stop. Jealous.
Enough.
Stop.
That's it. We're done.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I didn't know it was so, like, quirky like that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they're just rich people being silly.
Being rich people.
Right. And that's, so we're looking, and you have Kylie and,
and Kendall, who are kids.
Babies. Yeah.
And Bruce, who's a man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is the original.
Listen, I have something to tell you all. Will someone listen to me?
Yeah, Bruce, quiet. We're trying to do
No, I have
please.
Serious things. I need to talk to someone.
Later on. We'll do that another time. Right now.
Please. No one's... I'm dying inside.
Bruce?
Please.
We'll get to it, honey. Hang on. Right now.
Chris, look me in the eyes. I have a thing that I need to take care of.
Not now.
No one saw the signs.
No one saw them at all.
Are you wearing high heels? I feel good in them.
I'm dying.
This
inside.
Is a small part of a larger story, a narrative that I need to tell you.
Bruce, enough!
Will you listen to me?
No!
I'm dying inside.
We're busy. Wait, in the house, Steve. You're right. It's like a white picket fence house.
Like, Kathy, it's like
not something they would ever live
it's
in.
It's like a ranch home, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, by the way, before the Empire, though, right? I mean, like they really were. They were rich. They were semi-famous, but they weren't what they are now. And I hate them, but they have built it into a massive freaking empire.
You're right. They had money, but they didn't have FU money at that time.
So they had, exactly. And to be honest, Mominger, Kris Jenner, we say what you will about her, but she has been the matriarch that has accrued. Look at the value of Kendall and Kylie and Kim.
No denying.
All right, so the least successful, how much do you think their net worth
Rob?
Is?
So yeah. Rob?
Yeah, the son.
Yeah.
A lot.
Rob, can I talk to you?
He's the one that listens.
Yeah, no. Dad, I'm sorry. I'm
working on my socks.
I'm wearing my socks.
Your socks. I'm dying.
I gotta work on my socks. Do you like this print?
Uh-huh. I don't. I said, there's. You put them on your feet. I like pantyhose.
Excuse me?
Dad.
I like, let's get the garden hose.
Okay. Kim had said, the show made us who we are, and I will forever be in debt to everyone who played a role in shaping our careers and changing our lives forever.
I wonder how much Preston, over the course of this time, how much Ryan Seacrest has earned off the show.
Oh, my God.
Because he was the executive producer.
Yeah. The last season will air early next year in 2021. Early next year in 2021? Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Do you think they'll have Caitlin on to be just to come back? And
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hoary enough sense. To do that. Remember what I was telling you about in that first episode?
No one would listen.
Look, I have a snapshot I'm keeping in my cooter to remind you.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's my little happy place.
We're moving on.
My clutch purse.
Derek Hough is sashaying into a judge's seat on ABC's Dancing with the Stars.
You knew he'd come back.
I thought
back.
He was already.
No, no. Juliana Hough was.
But he never judged? Judged a different show then.
Yeah, so he was a dancer on the show, obviously. Oh, he was not a singer, no.
I thought, no, okay.
Are you sure? No, she was a dancer. Thanks, oh my God!
He'll be replacing Len Goodman.
Oh, really?
He's the, well, for the time being, he's the English, the older gentleman, right?
Yes.
Right?
He's the one with the dark hair.
This is a great, who's that guy?
Yeah,
that's Bruno.
That's Bruno.
That's Bruno.
This dancer was exciting.
Oh, Len Goodman is the older, tall guy, right?
Yeah, he's the one that created it.
Did so he the reason he's being replaced for now is because he's not able to travel to the set from the UK due to COVID.
Okay.
So he'll participate remotely. Hough will judge alongside Carrie Ann and Bruno.
Do you know that Len Preston was going back and forth between the British version and the American version doing both shows?
So he's doing like the Regis thing? Wow. No, I did not know that. Wow.
It's hard on you. I can tell you from personal experience.
Yeah. What's his name? Derek had said, this show has been and always will be incredibly special to me. Coming back feels like coming home, and I couldn't be more excited to be back in the ballroom. So he's going to be back on that.
Well, they did a major score with Carole Baskin. The fact that they're doing that, I find Tyra Banks a bit annoying.
Speaking of Carole Baskin, a perfect segue to Joe Exotic and his legal team have sent a 257-page case to Donald Trump, asking him to pardon him for his 22-year murder-for-hire sentence. According to TMZ, the documents also included a letter written by Exotic in which he claimed that he has been sexually assaulted by the jail staff. The star also noted his hands have been badly injured due to the abuse he endured in the jail premises. He requested Trump be his hero and take him out of all the misery.
Well, there's nothing else going on.
He also wrote that Trump should give him a chance to make America proud. He said, allow me to make you proud. Make America proud.
America.
Make the world proud. Be my hero, please. TMZ.
You ever know you're my hero?
TMZ learned from prison sources that no such assault took place in the jail premises.
It must have been cold there in my shadow.
Involving Exotic. That's Wind Beneath My Wings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, get the lyrics to that and post them so Steve can, so Joe can sing to us. Meanwhile, the former zoo owner said that his deteriorating health will result in his death before his scheduled 2037 release.
It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine. That's your way. You don't mean much. You have no talent. You always walked a step behind. God, that's a condescending song. Yeah.
Exotic once again insisted that he never tried to kill Carol Baskin.
Not really.
In the documents, his lawyer stated the threats were just another aspect of his showmanship.
That's right.
As part of the case,
I'm a showman.
A message from Exotic's husband, Dylan Passage, was brought up. In his letter, Passage claimed the Tiger King star saved him from addiction. He said, I see a sweet, big-hearted man with good intentions who took a few steps down a dark road, and he's just waiting to be pulled out of it.
Okay. I'm surprised that they're still together, honestly. Mm. And I think, Kathy, you raised that notion or observation, I should say, that this guy is still with Joe Exotic.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a younger, studlier guy.
He posted a video not that long ago saying that they were.
He loved me.
He might still be in love with him.
Yeah. It must have been cold air in my shadow.
Recently, Joe revealed that he is done with the Baskin saga, and he just wants to get out of jail.
Okay.
I wonder if he'll be watching Dancing with the Stars.
he'll be going out of his mind.
Yes.
So she's got some, how much will they focus in on the ongoing stuff in her case?
You know?
I mean, they're going to have to mention it.
Exactly.
That show is about backstory.
Yep. This is a story that is about a guest who we absolutely loved having in the studio, David Harbour.
Yes.
He and Lily Allen snagged. What was that?
It was terrible. Never mind. Just move along.
Okay. He and Lily Allen snagged a marriage license in Las Vegas over the weekend.
We had heard that they were an item. And which is really cool.
She's really cute, so I'm happy for him, and he's a great guy, so I'm happy for her.
He was one of the best guests and one of the nicest, genuine guys.
Yeah.
So when the interview wrapped up, he came and we were just hanging out talking, and you know.
Do you remember he was very scruffy?
Yes, he was.
And was that for?
I think it was for Black Widow.
Might have been.
It might have been. Yeah. Which is. By the way, I sent you over an article, Preston, about the releases that are coming up.
Because he was also scruffy in the next season of Stranger Things. And right. Was there something else that you were?
No. But I remember because we asked him about Black Widow when he was here, and he kind of wanted to tell us some of the things, but he couldn't. Like he wasn't allowed to talk about it at all. So I don't know if filming had finished, but I don't remember.
So they got a marriage license in Vegas. He and her had sparked engagement rumors in December of 2019 when she was spotted with a sparkler on her finger.
She's a singer, too.
while she didn't comment on the rumors at the time, a few months ago, she essentially confirmed the rumors by showing off the massive rock again in a mirror selfie.
What was her quasi-hit?
I don't even know. I have no idea what her music is.
Out of the gate, she was, I think she hit about the same time or maybe a little bit before Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with her, or maybe I just have forgotten.
Her brother's Alfie Allen. I forgot that, too, from Game of Thrones.
Huh.
Theon.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Okay. When fans asked her to confirm the rumors, she complied, and Allen and Harbour have kept their relationship fairly private. Allen shares two daughters with ex Sam Cooper, by the way. How about this? Lupita Nyong'o is sharing her grief after her friend and Black Panther colleague Chadwick Boseman died.
I read her her post on, I think it was Instagram. It's really, really touching.
So she wrote, "I write these words from a place of hopelessness to honor a man who had great hope. I am struggling to think and speak about my friend Chadwick Boseman in the past tense. It doesn't make sense." She said the news of his death was a punch to my gut every morning. She went on to note that Chadwick was a man who made the most of his time and somehow also managed to take his time. Though she said that they didn't know each other for long, Boseman had a profound effect on her in that time that they shared together.
You could tell the chemistry was there. There's a scene where they're walking in Black Panther, where they're walking through Wakanda just side by side having a chat. And you could tell that they really clicked.
Yep. Queen Elizabeth is making an unexpected stop as she returns to Windsor Castle. She and her husband, Prince Philip, are planning to leave Balmoral Castle.
I'm doing an escape room!
In Scotland to spend time privately on the Sandringham Estate.
Oh, the Sandringham Estate.
A palace.
That's right next to the Hamass Estate.
Confirmed to people on Tuesday. She usually heads back to Buckingham following her break at Balmoral.
Honestly, and I said it yesterday, I know they have duplicate sets of toiletries and everything, but I mean, after a while, I would be annoyed by having to go from house to house to house to house.
Yeah, but all you have to do is go from house to house. You know, everybody else does everything else for you.
But I like to have your favorite thing, though. What if you leave it? Oh, it's on. Where did I leave my book? You
it's
know,
a good thing you're not
bring
a royal.
It to you. Yeah, I'd be a terrible royal. Yeah.
They'll bring it to you. You'll be all right.
I know that we're facing World War II, but I've left my glasses at one of my homes.
So Sandringham, by the way, is 100 miles north of London and is where she typically spends Christmas. But no, she's headed there for the tail end of summer.
Bitch is crazy.
Actress Tracy Ellis Ross, Regina King, Sana Lathan, and Alfre Woodard are set to star in a one-time virtual remake of The Golden Girls on Zoom. So
I've missed everything that I've wanted to see on Zoom, all of these things.
So a virtual remake. So I don't. This sounds a little different than a table read, though.
Oh, really?
Well, it says a one-time virtual remake. Well, maybe it is a table read. The performance will be directed by Gina Prince Bathwood. So it's being directed and hosted by Alina Waithe. The event will benefit Color of Change, a digital organization dedicated to fighting racism. So I don't know.
Regina King was just nominated for. She's, I think, the first African-American actress to be a director nominee. Is it a very
remember what it was for?
High prestige, like the Cannes Film Festival, the equivalent. But she has a project out that she's done. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if she would remember us because she was on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
And we actually called her up when we were doing the Black Listener Party.
Right, right.
And she called in and she was just cool.
And we also had her on at the same time William Shatner had called in.
Yeah.
And they had worked together.
Right.
And it was really fun because they interacted and he was like, oh my God, I love you so much. You know, so it was great.
If you haven't seen The Watchmen, the HBO series. She is so unbelievably good in it.
And her character, Sister Knight.
It's awesome.
I love that character.
So, Steve, I think the project you're talking about is called One Night in Miami, and it's a fictional account of one night where Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown get together in the 60s to talk about civil rights.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it comes out at some point this month.
Well, maybe we can get her on for that.
Yeah. So they're doing this Golden Girls thing, so that should be interesting. All right, I think we're ready for clips. Clippies. All right. We'll start with this one. A woman begins to question everything about her relationship with her boyfriend when visiting his parents and their creepy farm in the Netflix film I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Oh.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, it's Charlie Kaufman.
In this clip, director Charlie Kaufman explains what he changed from the book to the film. Here we go.
I felt like for a movie, I needed a more of a dynamic between the male character and the female character so that it could sustain, because it's not words on a page. It's like actors needing to act something. Also, I felt like the ending of the book could work for a book, but it would be maybe too obvious. And so I didn't want there to be a twist ending. So those were the kind of the main things that I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I'm Thinking of Ending Things is available to watch on Netflix right now.
I can't wait to see it. It looks so trippy. It looks really cool. I love his stuff, and I love Jesse Plemons, and it looks great. Toni Collette's in it as well.
Nice. All right, here's the next clip. Having grossed around $150 million worldwide so far, Tenet is the first film to revive the movie theater industry. And in this clip, star John David Washington, who we had on the show last week, discusses his time working with director Christopher Nolan.
I was ready to run through a brick wall for him. I wanted to do whatever it took, not just for him, but for the team and for this script, this story that he created. I really believed in what he wrote. It felt really good to know that this man trusted me with the material, that he trusted me with this kind of responsibility, that he looked to me like a colleague, like a teammate, not someone who works for him.
I knew it.
Tenet is playing in theaters right now.
And he did the thing that Christopher Nolan likes to do is he'll shoot certain portions of his films in IMAX. And it just gets a really cool look, you know, even if it's not an IMAX theater that is being projected.
Okay. So that's your entertainment report. And we have stuff to get to today. Secret text word, chance for you to win the fifth season of Supergirl, by the way. Text word secret to 39333. We have from AP Bio, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Glenn Howerton joining us later on today. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day, too. So we got some stuff to get into with you. We'll take a break, come back in just a moment, and continue this little ride in with something we call the Back to School A to Z on MMR as well. We'll be right back. Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
We're going to have Glenn Howerton on later this morning from AP Bio, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But right now, you know, there's so many great stories come out that are kind of interesting to talk about, and some of them aren't, you know, we're talking about for 30 minutes.
Right. So they need to be talked about.
So they need to be talked about, and they get chucked into this thing we call the junk drawer.
Yeah.
And from time to time, we need to get in there and dig these things out, because I would hate for some of these stories to just go by the wayside. I got a winner in here somewhere. Let me see that.
Look at you rooting around in that thing.
Digging around in my actual physical junk drawer here. So you can hear it when I do that.
Now you're aware there's a mouse trap in there, too.
I know, so I try to be deft and go around it, because it's always set for some reason. Somebody always...
Which is weird.
Why you would set a mouse trap and put it in... But Bill Weston thought, you know, that'd be...
It's a quirk of his. He likes to have a mouse trap set in that junk drawer.
Right.
It's weird that it actually stays set in there as well. I mean, with all the stuff moving around. Yeah.
All right, anyhow... I thought this was definitely worth bringing up. Antiquities dealer and author Forrest Fenn, who gained fame after hiding treasure chests filled with gold, jewels, and other valuables that drove hundreds of thousands of people to search remote corners of the U.S. West for riches, sometimes with tragic consequences, has died. He passed away. He was 90 years old.
I thought he passed away a while ago.
Nope, he died on Monday.
Huh.
Yeah, no. Somebody just found the treasure.
Right,
yeah,
right.
He was still alive when it
happened. I didn't realize that. Yeah. For some reason, I thought that was posthumously. But
no,
okay.
No. Mm-hmm. He died on Monday, natural causes, at his home in Santa Fe. It was only in recent months that he announced his treasure had been found in Wyoming by someone that he did not name. No one has officially come forward to reveal that they've won.
How many people did you say died?
It says here, well, I don't know. I didn't say how many died, but some did. I want to say it's in the neighborhood of like 6 or 7 people, but
right.
I'm not 100% sure on that. But thousands of people have searched for the treasure.
Were you at, obviously it's nothing you'd have the time to do, but if you did have the time to do something like this, and say one of your, the author for Ready Player One did something.
Yeah. Yeah. Know. Ernest Cline.
Yeah.
If I had the time, absolutely. I would go for it. Now, the poem was very, very cryptic, and I read it, and I'm like, well, this is too much work. I'm never going to figure this out. But somebody did, and lots of people tried, but only one person did. He said he hid the loot 10 years ago in the Rocky Mountains, and he dropped clues to its whereabouts in a poem that he published in his 2010 autobiography. He had said, here's what I didn't know, that he had packed and repacked the bronze treasure chest for more than a decade. He would sprinkle in gold dust and add hundreds of rare gold coins and gold nuggets. And pre-Columbian animal figures went in, along with prehistoric mirrors of hammered gold.
So he was visiting it? And,
yes.
And all you need to do is tell him.
Just follow him. Uh-huh. Ancient Chinese faces carved from jade and antique jewelry with rubies and emeralds. I mean, like, your stereotypical treasure.
Yeah,
like your Alibaba treasure that you would find.
If you had found it, would you have gone into hiding? Would you have let people know?
I would let people know. Hell yes. If I worked that hard on it. And then
it's not
because then you could turn that into speaking engagements and make more money off of them.
How you discover. Yeah. Exactly. Now, in this case, it's maybe not like when someone wins a lottery for $200 million or $300 million. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, but it's not like, you know, they're going to be crawling out of the woodwork for you.
Right. And whoever won this worked for it.
Yes.
You know, they worked really hard, and that's what makes it compelling. He had said when it was found, he said, "I congratulate the thousands of people who participated in the search and hope they will continue to be drawn by the promise of other discoveries." He had posted that on his website earlier this summer.
I have a friend who's very much into scuba and snorkel, and he went treasure hunting, has been treasure hunting several times, looking for Spanish galleons, and occasionally you find them. I mean, there are still a lot out there, and it's not inconceivable. You know, you're not going to go down and come up with a treasure chest every time, but
Croce
found a few. Yeah, and Croce was,
actively involved, and I think they had gotten or at least worked out the rights to some of the treasure aboard a sunken galleon.
Yeah.
He was looking for Sir Francis Drake's ship in particular.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there are people that actually treasure hunt.
Yeah.
They do it. A self-described schmoozer and endless flirt who revealed in endless emails from treasure hunters, his idea to stash some of his favorite things began years earlier when he was diagnosed with cancer and given just a few years to live. Obviously, he outdid
that. He beat that. You know, it occurs to me that the ultimate joke would have been, Preston, if you'd... So he picked the park where this was, and if he had just taped the treasure to the back of the sign saying, "You're now entering."
Right. That would have been great. In his book, The Thrill of the Chase, he laid out his unusual rags-to-riches story while sharing memories of his favorite adventures and mischief-making. The book said the recollections were as true as one man could average, considering that one of his natural instincts was to embellish. Mm-hmm. And he was an art dealer. And in fact, he became very prominent in the area that he grew up in or lived in. He hosted a virtual who's who of the rich and famous at his gallery and guest house, including Jackie Kennedy Onassis, Sam Shepard, Jessica Lange, and Michael Douglas, just to name a few. Even in his 80s, he was known to throw, like, really awesome parties.
I didn't realize he was that well-known and worked in those circles. Yeah. Did he date Rihanna?
He did not date... Oh. Well, I don't know, Steve.
Right.
He
very just threw it out there.
We need to keep that possibility open.
Wow. Well, that's kind of a cool dude.
I love it. I think it'd be cool if more people did stuff like that.
You know what's supposed to be, and they say this could be a treasure that's out there, is the money that D.B. Cooper supposedly stole. And that, you know, they say that the whole legend is too lengthy to go, and he jumped out of a jet liner, and some say he died, and he had a whole bunch of money with him, or that he put it in a cave. It's one of those things. I don't know, but
which more than likely he died, and
everyone
there's no
says
money out there. But
there's no way he survived.
But stuff still surfaces to this day of people claiming that he was their father and all that other stuff. So it's another one of those things that's out there. I thought that was interesting.
Yes,
and I think I got another one in here.
Look out for the mousetrap.
Oop.
God damn it.
He just told you to watch out for it.
Oh, sometimes when you're told.
I don't mean to blame you.
I know. It makes you focus on it when you're told.
This is out of Harrisburg. The recent confirmation of an invasive species known as rock snot.
Rock snot.
In Somerset County, has state agencies sending out an alert to fishermen and boaters alike.
What are you listening to? Rock snot.
Well, turn it up.
Out your nose.
As people prepare to hit
dribbling
the water
down your lip.
The Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission and Department of Environmental Protection are reminding fishers and boaters what to do to prevent spreading the invasive alga Didymo or rock snot.
So we're looking at it. It looks more like rock crap.
Mm-hmm. The state agencies say cleaning gear is the easiest, most effective way to make sure that snot rock does not spread.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. So it looks like a gelatinous glob of crap. More, I would put it more in the crap realm. But and how prevalent is rock snot?
Well, it can be. That's the thing they're saying. It takes only one live Didymos cell to start a new colony of the alga, which is, I assume, how you pronounce that, A-L-G-A, alga.
Yeah,
alga.
These all sound like rappers, Didymo.
It does, right? The Fish and Boat Commission also recommends allowing equipment to dry for 48 hours before going into new waters. Soaking equipment in dishwashing detergent and hot water for about 20 minutes will also kill rock snot.
Is there any chance that murder hornets eat this?
No. Rock snot was also recently discovered in Quemahoning Creek downstream of the Quemahoning Reservoir in Somerset County. It does not present a public health hazard, but it can cause ecological damage by smothering other organisms that live at the bottom of the riverbed and support the food web for fish.
So I'd go looking for the treasure and I'd find rock snot.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But this reminded me of this type
of... Is
this
it? I found rock snot. Lots of rocks. I found rock snot.
I know we've talked about this before, but when we went to... what's the quarry, the diving quarry?
Dutch Springs.
Thank you, Dutch Springs. They warn you to clean everything because you might bring back to your house zebra mussels, I think are what they're called. Zebra mussels,
right,
or zebra clams or whatever they are.
They sound delicious.
If you come back and you take a shower in your house, they can start growing in your plumbing.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I'm
my
rock
God.
Snot.
No, not Let rock snot.
Back with you.
Zebra mussels. And they will clog up your plumbing.
Oh, my God. So we're looking at zebra mussels. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So.
And all of these things are disgusting. Thank you, nature.
Yeah.
I wonder if, you know, at some point, like, invasive species will just, like, at some point, they just have to be everywhere that they're going to get to, right?
Like American Express.
There's only so much expansion that an invasive species can do.
Right.
Chinese lantern flies are an invasive species. So at some point, there's going to have to be some response to that species. What will that response be, or will they just take over?
Well, you look at something that comes to mind is kudzu. And there were years ago, there was a sort of a whole series of reports about how invasive kudzu was. And now you never hear about it. So something obviously came into the environment that helped mitigate the spread of kudzu.
I remember reading, I think at the beginning of this year, that one of the only natural predators around here to the Chinese lanternfly is the praying mantis.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
One of the only natural predators around here to the Chinese lanternfly is the praying mantis.
That's so weird that you say that, because just yesterday, last time we talked about the spotted lanternfly, somebody emailed in about the tape around the tree and said you shouldn't do that because other insects and birds are getting stuck to it or whatever. So my neighbors have that tape around their tree, and Jace brought me down to their house because he wanted me to see all of the bugs. So he was showing me. They actually pulled out their shop vac, and they were vacuuming up the lantern flies, but there were three praying mantis that were stuck to the tape. So Jason, a couple of the other kids tried to help the praying mantis off of the tape. They were able to get all three off, but that's interesting that you say that, because we were like, well, why are there praying mantis here? Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe it's their food source.
I know they do so much, the praying mantis, but it's just
they freak me out.
I love them. They're so cool.
Well, and as they were getting them off,
they're
cold
and emotionless.
Well, it was interesting to watch as they were trying to get them off the tape without injuring them. They were grasping onto the kids' fingers like pretty hard. Jay said he was getting like a little pinch from them.
Wow. Yeah, the female will eat the male while they're mating.
Yeah.
Eat the head off
the
male while they're doing the nasty.
Nah, man.
Wow.
Hey, I think we've all been with some aggressive women.
Yeah.
But never that bad.
Dude, she started eating my head. I mean, the wrong one.
Eating my actual skull. And I'm like, I gotta go.
Wow.
No birds eat these things?
Not that I've heard of. You know,
why not?
That's what you have to. There has to be a response at some point, right? So, like, what bird is going to migrate to our area because of the prevalence of these lanternflies? And they're just
Japanese lanternfly eating bird.
In my house, at my house, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Really?
And they just. It's funny too, because they're really concentrated on two sides of the house, not on the third or fourth side. It's bizarre. But now, when you walk outside the back door of my house, they will land on you. They. It's just. I don't think they're that harmful or anything, except to, no, you know, to plants. They're not harmful to people.
You're told to kill them, though.
Yeah, I do. The back patio is littered with carcasses, and you think, all right, here's a graveyard of these lanternflies. Maybe they'll stay away, but
get the message.
Yeah.
It's funny. We have next to none this year. It's been great.
That's crazy. But you got treated, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think they've also, but I was told that they've kind of migrated out of our area.
All right.
What kind of treatment, Preston, was used?
Some kind of tree injection.
Okay.
I don't know what it does.
We've had a few, no more than regular, any type of other bug you might see around the house. But like Marissa was saying in the city,
yeah,
seeing them all over the place.
They're trying to find their area. They kill the tree, right? I don't know about that, but they only like certain kinds of trees, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think I have that tree in my yard. So
bone trees.
They're in my neighborhood, but they're not in my yard.
Our year, for us this year, far worse than last year. So, yeah,
really?
Maybe they're just migrating to different areas and finding their place. Who knows?
By the way, I got that treatment sponsor, Terra Lawn Care.
Okay. There you go. Who did that, so. Do they take care of Rocksnot?
Fred and the gang. Maybe. By the way, speaking of Rocksnot.
Rocksnot.
It's called that because of its appearance, and when squeezed dry, the alga usually feels like cotton or wool.
Oh, my God.
So it feels pleasant, actually, cotton or wool. All right, what else I got here for you? So keep an eye out for Rocksnot this summer. Today is Share Your Care Day with the Care Bears. The Care Bears toy line was initially introduced in 1983.
Who here was...
Oh, I loved Care Bears. Oh,
yeah. Were you a Care Bear person?
Hell yeah.
Loved Care Bears.
There weren't many books that I read in my life, but there were a whole bunch of Care Bear books that I read.
You sit there with your pipe?
What are you reading?
I'm reading The Care Bears, The Adventure in the Honeywell.
Adventure in the Honeywell. The main...
Tonight we discuss Care Bears, Adventure in the Honeywell.
What were the names of some of the bears? Anybody remember? Do they have? I don't know.
Tony.
I know nothing about the Care Bears.
Yeah, they all had names. Okay. I think wasn't it like there was like a love bear and a
they had a cartoon
rainbow bear.
Yeah, the cartoon was very popular.
But was that their names? Love and Rainbow.
So Grumpy Bear, Love a Lot Bear, Cheer Bear, Bedtime Bear.
Okay.
Friend Bear, Good Luck Bear, Wish Bear,
Bulimic Bear.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, that is.
Rocksnot Bear.
The main focus of Share Your Care Day is to inspire acts of kindness and goodwill across the United States and beyond. And a team of Care Bears ambassadors and Care Bears partners pledge to help make this goal come true.
That's a good message.
Care Bears have taught fans worldwide the importance of caring for others. Share Your Care Day is a perfect opportunity for everyone to participate in acts of kindness. So that's what they're asking for. And remember that goodwill and consideration toward others are essential every day of the year.
Are the bears in the commercials with the toilet paper where they're very concerned
those
about
wiping
their bear asses?
Those are just regular bears.
Yeah. Okay. But they're similar, right, in the way they look. Or are they not?
No, they don't have a thing on their belly. They don't have a...
I see. So the... now I finally get it. So the belly...
That's their logo, and that's the emotion or caring attribute to that particular bear.
Now I get it.
Yep.
There's a homosexual couple that parks next to us on the beach, and one guy... he wears, like, bikinis, briefs, as his bathing suit, and over the weekend... His bikini had on the bottom of it where his hiney goes just said bear across the back of it. Right?
That could have another connotation.
Is he a real life Care Bear?
I just think he is a real life bear, but I also thought I'm like, you're kind of small for a bear. You're more like a
cub. Excuse me, homosexuals, may I ask you about.
Yes!
Excuse me, homosexuals. I'd like to ask you about your bear bikini bottoms.
God.
Are you saying that in the homosexual way of bears, or is it just an adoration for the Care Bears?
No, it was not an adoration for Care Bears, nor was it an adoration for...
Thank you, homosexuals.
Ursa genus, or whatever. It was, I think, he identifies as a bear in the homosexual community.
May I introduce you to the lesbians?
Okay.
I don't know. It's something that I think Casey is... There is a Care Bear, the same way with unicorns, a fetish,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably.
I think
I wouldn't doubt it.
Jabroni, or what do they call them? The Bronies?
Oh, Bronies.
Right.
Who are with My Little Ponies.
Right, right. I think Care Bears have a similar fetish.
Nick, I can't say that.
Come on, yes, you can.
I'm not going to say his last
yes,
name.
Yes, you have to.
Why?
Because he deserves it.
Do we know him?
No.
Oh, well, I'm not going to say this. This guy texted and he gave a first and last name. He goes, Matt so-and-so, I'm not going to say it, from Delco, still sleeps with his Care Bear and doesn't want anyone to know. I'm not going to say that.
All right.
And so what if he still sleeps with his Care Bear?
Yes.
We've had many discussions when adults had called in that still sleep with their teddy bear.
All right.
Ew, remember my friend's 30-year-old pillow?
Yes. Ugh. I love that.
That rotting thing?
She was awesome. She cracked me up, man.
But I do like the idea of cleaning it and perhaps taking a piece of the fabric of something that you loved as a kid. And
we do that.
And turning it into something else.
Yep, we save that stuff.
Like a pouch to hold your rock snot.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a stuffed animal, but my second pillow is essentially a stuffed animal. It's a huggy pillow. I got a pillow for my head and then a pillow that my arm goes around. Pillow. And then a huggy pillow.
Speaking of fetishes, by the way, here are some... Here's some things you can do.
Okay.
Here's some suggestions for the Care Bear Day. Treat a friend to coffee.
Ah, that's nice.
Share a toy with a sibling.
All the things bears do.
Do an extra chore without being asked. Help an older neighbor bring their trash cans to the street.
Don't touch my trash.
Organize a tree planting campaign.
These are good.
Buy a meal for a homeless family and volunteer at a local charity.
Huh.
So these are things that you can do. Speaking of fetishes, Steve, there's a puppy dog fetish.
Oh.
And it's where girls dress up as puppies and play out the role as a dog.
It's a submissive thing.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
I find the more interesting one, the horse ones.
Yes.
Which is where they wear the bridle and everything, and they get, they act like horses and run around. but this is apparently a thing, and on Fans Only, you can, you know, which is becoming essentially a paid-for porn service, I guess, in some respects. But
yeah.
We had a couple of clips you wanted to play.
There's a clip, two clips of a puppy master controlling the female puppy, quote-unquote, woman.
Okay.
Did you just pee on the floor? Jenna, was this you? Bad girl, you know better than that. You pee outside. Bad girl, come on. Into your cage. Nope, you know better than that. You stay in your cage. You don't pee in the floor. You pee outside, okay? You sit in your cage and think about what you did. Bad girl. Hey.
Did she actually pee on the floor, though?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's just... Well, maybe she did. Who knows? Whatever you're into, man.
Yep. And then there's another clip.
They're out at a restaurant, and the submissive puppy girl is actually down on all fours.
Okay.
And he is feeding her off the table, but he's not happy about it because it's human food.
Hey, this is human food. You ate already. No. Okay, look. Just this once. Sit.
Sure. Imagine if you're the table next to him.
There's a story here that Nick pulled up on the Mirror in England. It says a woman quits job to earn six figures a month acting as a dog on OnlyFans.
What? I mean, come on.
If you're willing
to
do some interesting things like that, you can make money at it.
I wonder how committed you have to be. Will you defecate outside in a park, or is that part of the deal? Do you do the full thing, or is it just, as you said, about peeing on the floor?
Yeah. No.
I mean,
sure.
Or six figures a month, I'll crap outside.
Did you guys
Casey did it for free.
That's right.
He's done it.
Think of all the money coming out your ass that you missed out on.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a story yesterday, and who knows? It's all alleged, but about Odell Beckham Jr. and what he's into. And it's just one of these things where, like, whether he's into it or not, I don't care. But the fact that that fetish exists in the first place to me is interesting. You know,
explain what the fetish, what his fetish.
He enjoys but he likes being the subject of he receiving the woman defecation. Doing the thing on to him. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Pooping.
Okay, listen. I wonder if that'll make his HBO sports special.
Yeah,
who knows?
But when it came to being crapped on, no one exceeded Odell Beckham Jr. on this golden gridiron warrior.
I think there are people like that that achieve a certain level of fame, and we've talked about this in the past, but fame, fortune, whatever, that they've done everything that they're going to do in the quote-unquote normal sex world.
The movie Hellraiser, actually, Nick, is an extension of that. There's a guy who has done
every sort of perversion, and they're like, there's nothing left.
Right.
So he gets this lament configuration, you know, for the ultimate pleasure. They're always chasing that pleasure somehow.
Okay. Yeah.
On the gridiron, no one exceeded Odell Beckham Jr. when it came to having craps taken on him. I think it really helped my game. Up on her haunches, ready to go. This warrior, supine and waiting for the dookie.
This warrior.
I tell you, I've been in this game for 20 years. I never saw someone take a load like he did. I mean, it was amazing. The commitment. You need a lot of training.
Hey, whatever gets you to...
Listen, if it works for Amber Heard...
To the top.
Right?
Yeah. The heap. You gotta do it.
He plays for the Browns.
Yeah, that's right? The first thing Casey also said to me. He plays for the Browns.
And it's in Cleveland, and yes, he enjoys the Steamers. Wow. I mean, like, all of this is just works there. It's all on a Pittsburgh platter just waiting for you.
It was begging to tell it.
Yes.
The story was there. We never saw it. It was like Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, yeah. Tried to tell everybody.
Tried to tell everyone.
They wouldn't listen. All right, do I have time for one more? Or do we need
of
to take
of course
break?
You
All right, let me
do.
Dig in. This November, a prequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild arrives on Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. It's going to be called Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. It was developed by Koei Tecmo and is another adventure in the Zelda series in a Dynasty Warriors style.
Did you play the last one?
Breath of the Wild. Did I play that one? Man, I've forgotten some of the titles. The last one I played was on the Wii, I believe, and it wasn't Twilight Princess. It was the one after that. Or maybe
You did. The Twilight Princess was the last.
No, there was one after that.
On Twitch.
No, not on Twitch. No, it wasn't on the Switch. It was on the regular console, but it was one where you had a bird, essentially. You flew on instead of a horse.
Yes.
And I forgot the name of it. It might have been Breath of the Wild.
So the one on the Switch was very deep, very complex, and I played about half of it. It was really good, but Preston, there was so much minutia attached to it that I almost got overwhelmed, and I did get overwhelmed.
Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
That's the last one I played. And Steve, I bailed on it too. It was too big. I think I've outgrown it.
My favorite, though, I'll say this, my favorite in the top five, Twilight Princess.
Yeah, definitely my favorite.
And that to me didn't seem as overwhelming.
Yeah. So here's the deal. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, this happens before that, this new game, and tells the story of the great calamity that destroyed Hyrule. As seen in the first Hyrule Warriors game released in 2014 on the Wii U, this new title will feature multiple playable characters with unique playing styles for each of them. Players will be able to take control of Link, Zelda, and the four champions of Hyrule, who are Mipha, Revali, Daruk and Urbosa, and cut through hordes of Ganon's minions.
And Lenny.
And Lenny, too. Don't forget about Lenny. Along with the aforementioned characters, a small guardian can be seen among the heroes in the game's official key art, suggesting that it could be playable as well.
These games are, at their best, are when you talk about being immersed in a world,
mm-hmm,
that's what they do so well.
Yep.
You just get lost in it. When you are away from a game and you are thinking about it at work or when you're driving along, that's what these games do.
The scope of it is huge.
Yes.
Just the land alone that you have to traverse in that and getting from one place to another.
To me, the God of War games did the same thing.
Until there's warping available. Once you can warp from place to place, it makes it a little bit easier. But it's a commitment.
Yep.
It's definitely a commitment.
And it's hard to do if you're living an adult life.
Yes. traditional elements of Legend of Zelda games like puzzles will still be incorporated into Hyrule Warriors. Even as the actual sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is still under development, series producer Aisha Anuma stated in a video message that fans of the series will have to wait a bit longer for any updates on that game.
Wow.
So that is coming out. Yep, another one.
And the new consoles, we're getting an idea. There's actually going to be an Xbox version of the new console, the new Xbox, that's going to be a less expensive version of it. So, you know, these systems are coming in at like $500.
So there's PS5 coming out.
PS5
is a new Xbox coming out?
Yeah, yeah.
What about Nintendo doesn't have any plans right now?
No, the Switch was a massive hit for Nintendo.
I still want, Switch didn't kind of do it for me.
I dug it. I found myself not using the portable version of it. I was still playing on the TV, and I used the, I liked the separate hand controllers, where instead of holding onto the one controller, you could have both your hands.
Yeah, I like the wand. I like the movement stuff. Cool. I thought it was really cool.
All of this stuff has missed the mark with me. And when it comes down to it, there being a really, really good VR setup, that's when I think I might get back into it again.
So here's the deal. The plan is for the next PlayStation is to have the is to have a wireless VR setup so that you can have, Nick, I don't know if you do or Kathy, if you do.
That's not for me, but, if it floats your boat.
Yeah, but it's this way, you're basically wirelessly interacting with the console without a headset, without wires attached to it.
When you have a VR and suppose you have bad vision, do you have to wear your glasses in the VR?
No.
You don't.
You can adjust the vision. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a focus on it, so
I'm going to shoot.
Yeah. Wait, do you play VR?
No. I just find that interesting because I can't see, me. I can't see anything with that. So,
you can focus the visor of sorts to whatever
your
problem is. Yeah. Huh.
Mm-hmm. My son turns 14 this weekend, and he, for the first time ever, asked for a console, and I don't have any idea what to get him. I know how much to spend. Yeah, I figured I'd come to you on it, but. Yeah, it's one of those things where, Casey, I'm sort of the same boat as you. For most part, it's missed me over the last, and because I've missed it for the last 15 to 20 years, I'm intimidated about jumping back in.
Waiting actually at this point because
never getting into it.
No, not you, but for your son who asked for a console. Why get him a PS4 when the 5's on the horizon?
Sure, yeah.
By the way, about the glasses thing, now, if you have ridiculously bad vision, I don't know if you can focus it to that or not.
Right,
so
right.
I will backtrack on that, but they do have a focus for you. Okay, what were you trying to tell me?
I was just saying we could have stretched a little bit, and now we're ready for...
We can take a break?
We can take a break. We are not going to play a song.
Okay, we're not going to
play a song. We are not.
Okay. All right, but we will have more of the Back to School A to Z coming up this morning. Guarantee we're not going to talk the entire time. We might even play a game this morning.
Mm.
We got some stuff to give away. We're going to take a break. We're going to return in just a moment. Yes, we'll go live on Fox Good Day when we get back. The B-File is coming up, too, so stay there.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, local shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Oh, we're going right now. I didn't know that's what thumbs up means. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry, guys. We were just getting back into our segment.
It's okay.
Good.
Did your listeners hear any of the setup there? I'll just do it real quickly here.
Okay.
So this guy's married. Marriage is going on pretty well. Well, he decides to have an affair on his wife. Well, then it didn't go so well. So he decided he had an affair with his on his wife.
Yeah.
But then after he's had sex with this other woman, he realized, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do this. Grass is not greener. I'm going to go back to my wife because I love her even more. I realize that now after cheating. Should he admit this? Preston.
No, because he's going to do it again in 6 weeks. So I'd say no. he's all lovey-dovey. He got his TLC from somewhere else, and then he's going to realize that he wants to do it again probably. So he should. No, here's the deal. Yeah, well. You should get out of the marriage, probably.
Do you think there's, I believe that there are times when someone can stray and come back to the relationship and make it work, and it's not indicative of the end of the marriage. Sometimes you can do that. But I think as punishment, he's got to, why inflict this upon the wife?
Right.
There are two sides to it. Is he going to do the chicken thing and not fess up, but you're going to hurt the wife, Just be a better husband and knock it off.
Have you guys ever known someone who has cheated one time, come back, and then been faithful the rest of the time? I don't. I've never talked to anybody that was about that.
Now, Kathy.
I've seen people cheat and get busted and then patch it up and have things go all right for the rest of their marriage.
Well, let's go around the room here.
Okay.
Steve, let's start with you. If somebody cheated on you, do you have the ability to forgive them?
I think I would. It depends on, listen, I think if someone falls in love with someone else, that'd be much harder. If my wife were to fall in love, legitimate love, or if she's just, you know, if it's just a weak moment, okay, I could work with that. But if it was something more substantive, that would be a little more difficult.
I'm sorry. I'm so shallow, I could never forgive. It would never get out of my mind.
Yeah.
Preston?
Would I ever forgive if my wife cheated on me? I don't know. Would I be allowed to watch? Or?
Oh, my God! Yeah. Wow.
I just want to say something.
All right, Paul.
Well done, Mike. probably, yes. I mean, I love her.
Kathy,
more than
can
anything,
you forgive?
So.
I don't know that I can answer that question. I don't know. I'd have to be put in the situation.
Well,
watch Preston
get it off. Yeah.
You never know what you're going to do until you're in it. What'd you say, Mike?
Nick?
Could I forgive? Yes. But would I want to know? No. I think ignorance is bliss in a situation like that. And okay. I wouldn't want anybody to ever tell me. So just go about your life and don't tell me.
I'll see it on the news.
Yeah. Mike will tell me.
What about Casey Boy?
I could forgive, no doubt. But it also depends on who was the other person. Like, if it was my brother or best friend or something like that, I think I'd have a hard time. Yeah.
No. Okay.
You want it to be a stranger.
Yeah.
Someone passing through town.
Yeah. Somebody I would never have to see again.
What about somebody like Chase Utley? You know, somebody kind of cool.
Well, that's actually kind of cool.
Can I watch?
Yeah. Hey, excuse me, Chase. When you're done with my wife, could you autograph this?
I got an autograph out
of it. Oh, my God. Way to go, honey.
You see the bat on that guy? Anyway, we'll see you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Later, guys.
Oh, my God.
The bat. How about the balls?
Yeah, we can't say that on TV.
I guess not. Okay. We didn't do traffic.
No.
We did traffic, right. And we did yesterday's news.
Let's do NJM Insurance Group traffic. What's going on, Kath?
95 southbound slowing Cotman through to Bridge Street, and then also Woodhaven to Academy. We've got some slow traffic here. That disabled vehicle is still off to the shoulder. The Vine westbound heavy, the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill Expressway. On the Schuylkill eastbound, it's slowing the boulevard to the Vine westbound city to Belmont. 55 northbound jams north of Deptford to the 42 freeway over the Ben Franklin Bridge westbound. We've got some volume, and then on the Platte Bridge. Don't forget, we have that construction in the right lane. This traffic report brought to you by Mattress Warehouse. Save up to $1,200 at Mattress Warehouse. Buy any Tempur-Pedic and receive a $300 instant gift. Get a free adjustable base with select purchases and a one-year price guarantee. Visit sleephappens.com. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Hi, it's brought to you by Sanche Propane Tank Home Delivery Service. It brings propane right to your doorstep. You can place your order at cinch.com. A Sicilian mafia boss serving a life sentence bit off and swallowed a prison guard's finger during an altercation, according to an Italian news report. Giuseppe Fanara, who was serving a life sentence in Rome, attacked 7 guards when they came to inspect his cell. Fanara, from Sicily's notorious Cosa Nostra gang, was 9 years into his sentence under Italy's tough 41-bis penal code reserved for mafia members. The harsh prison regime isolates mobster bosses to prevent them from running their clans from behind bars. During the altercation, Fanara bit off the agent's little finger on his right hand.
Oh,
the paper
pinky?
Said,
right.
Yep. The finger disappeared, leading a Rome prosecutor to conclude that it had been eaten. The prisoner then charged the 6 other guards using a broomstick as a weapon, allegedly shouting, I'll slit your throats like pigs. Fanara has been transferred to Sardinia's high-security Sassari prison. Now, the paper said, adding that he was facing new charges, including aggravated assault and resisting arrest.
Sounds like kind of a badass.
Earlier this year, Italy decided to release a number of elderly and infirm mobster bosses, including some belonging to Cosa Nostra.
Man, I could really go for a good pinky.
That decision had sparked outcry, forcing the Justice Ministry to backpedal and review the decision.
The mob, the Cosa Nostra, is so entrenched in a lot of what's going on over there. It's a nightmare.
A Florida man turned himself into police on Sunday after he allegedly shot his mother to death following a series of arguments involving a car, orange juice, and an air conditioning remote control. Luis Pages called 911 on Sunday, telling authorities he lost it and shot his mother at home in the Miami area.
So was it over the orange juice? Was it over the remote control, or both of those?
The last straw was the remote control.
Okay, that's something worth killing your mother for.
The victim, Miriam Gonzalez, was found dead at the scene. He said, "I killed her. Take me to jail." Oof. When the officers arrived.
You don't understand. Now I have to get up, walk across the room, and turn on the AC.
Pages allegedly told detectives that a series of arguments led to the fatal shooting, including disputes over borrowing his mother's car, and then about orange juice in the fridge. He allegedly said his mother threatened him with a knife. Pages also asked for the air conditioning remote, which led to another argument. And then he allegedly shot his mother multiple times before turning the gun on himself. But he had called 911 after realizing the gun was out of bullets.
How convenient.
He was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. But he flat-out said, "I did it."
All right.
He said, "I killed her."
Listen, it's air conditioning. It's Florida, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's hot.
I wouldn't be able to deal with that. A driver was speeding through a work zone Sunday morning when a state highway patrol trooper attempted to stop the man. He sped away from the flashing blue lights. The driver reached a maximum speed of 187 miles per hour.
Holy crap!
In a work zone. Mm. Now, to give you some perspective, and I always like to think of it this way, if this guy were to come upon a car that was going 100 miles an hour and he hit them, it would be like hitting a brick wall going 87 miles an hour. That's how fast this guy was going. Two troopers placed stop sticks to prevent him, the driver, from driving any further.
Stop!
Quills in the stick penetrate the tire and act as valves, releasing air at a safe, controlled rate. That's how they work. He crashed his car into bushes alongside of the road, attempting to avoid the stop sticks on the exit, and after the crash, he was arrested by officials. No one was injured.
That's amazing.
During the crash, remarkably.
187 miles an hour.
That is unbelievable. When his grandmother was struggling to stand, an 11-year-old Indiana grandson got it in gear. P.J. Brewer-Lay, who was driving his go-kart at the time, had been out with Angela Brewer-Lay last week in their Indianapolis neighborhood as she walked nearby. The pair were about a mile and a half from their home when his grandma began to feel ill.
Hi, Grandma.
At the moment, PJ was zooming up and down the street past his ailing grandmother, feeling dizzy, weak, and unable to see clearly.
Hi, Grandma.
Do that again, please.
Hi, Grandma.
What a nice grandson. He's saying hi to
her Grandma
each time.
I know, every time you pass.
Hi, Grandma.
Angela leaned against a roadside.
That's your next drum thing, Press.
Hi, Grandma.
Then her blurry vision began to sharpen. Already working on it, Case. All of a sudden, she said, I looked to my right and I see a car. It was my Mercedes-Benz coming towards me, just in an easy, calm manner. It was coming towards me. I looked at the car and it was him. It was PJ.
Hi, Grandma.
He's 11, by the way. The boy was 11 at the time of the incident and had quickly noticed the change in his grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
And didn't think twice about riding his go-kart home to fetch a more suitable road vehicle. So he drove all the way home in the go-kart, grabbed the Mercedes.
Hi, Grandma.
And went and got her.
You're a little idiot.
Angela praised the driving skill of her grandson, who, she explained, has had a lot of practice in his short life. She said the child is only 11 years old and drives like a pro. He always rides either his four-wheeler or go-kart or his dirt bike when I'm trying to get a little exercise in. And it wasn't his first time behind the wheel of a full-size automobile either. His grandfather, Angela's husband, often used to ask young PJ to rearrange their cars in the driveway or yard.
Well, there you go.
Under Grandpa's close watch, of course, PJ's trip to the hospital last week was his first time on the road in a car, but apparently he did a great job.
Hi, Grandma.
Grandma said that he pulled in the driveway and is so precise because my driveway is kind of narrow and he didn't go up on the curb in the grass or nothing. He pulled in the driveway in the garage and helped me out of the car. She said it was calm and collected the whole time. So So, you know what, Casey? I think you had said one time, I think you had told me that teaching kids how to drive underage is...
No, the risk versus reward is not worth it.
Or someone had told, or you, someone had said that they teach them on the off chance that there's an emergency and they might need to...
No, I was saying that's the only... Now I understand why you're teaching a 14-year-old how to drive a car.
Hi, Grandma.
Just on the off chance that there's an emergency.
With Grandma.
And with Grandma or whoever, and they need to get behind the wheel of a car, that's the only reason.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's why, honestly, like the kid driving a go-kart.
Uh-huh.
A go-kart, for the most part, is the same as driving a car. I mean,
it's similar
gas
enough.
Gas and brake and steering wheel, you just need to learn how to put it in gear, and you can...
And do some transmission work.
That as well, you know. And,
you know.
But anyhow, the kid ended up...
I think if you're in a more rural situation, perhaps.
Yes.
You know?
Very much so.
Obviously, if you're living in downtown, it's probably not necessary.
Yeah. All right, and that is what I have in the Bizarre File for you. The A to Z does continue when we get back. We're still in the O's. We're at the tail end of the O's. So we'll find out what song is next when we return. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We haven't done this in a little while, but I think we're going to play a game. We're
going
to play a contest right now. And with the back to school A to Z, it's really got me in rock mode.
Yeah.
So we're going to play this.
It's time for Preston Elliott's rock trivia game that no one would play with him.
Yeah. All right. So the
The backstory is fascinating for this game, actually.
Call right now, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to try a slightly different format for this this game. But, yes, the backstory is that...
It's actually a heart-wrenching story.
Somebody had gifted me a Trivial Pursuit. I think it was... Was it Rock of the 80s?
It is Trivial Pursuit Classic Rock Edition.
Classic Rock Edition,
right.
That's
so,
it. And
I have it right here.
Nobody in my house likes to play... Trivial Pursuit. Yeah. My wife doesn't like to play Trivial Pursuit, much less Rock Trivial Pursuit.
Right.
And
it's one of the few games I like to play.
I love that game, and it's right in my wheelhouse, and I never, ever, it remains sealed and unopened for years. And I'm like, I need to bring this into work because I want to play this game. And I, you know, so.
I will tell you this. So I was charged with coming up with questions off the game. So I actually used the game and used the game cards. You would, if you're playing someone who was even decent at rock trivia, you would crush them in this game. It's too easy for you. So I had to do some digging to get some questions that make it formidable.
All right, fair enough.
You know, but in the proper way, what I like about Trivial Pursuit is that they use the Jeopardy way of framing a question, quote unquote. They give a lot of times there's a hint in the phrasing of the question that helps get you to the answer.
Right, right.
So I think we have some formidable questions. I secured 14 and that I think we can roll with.
So there's some tough ones in here. Okay, good. I'm going to be tested.
Yeah, a little bit more. I tried.
I'm going to be terrible at this, but I'm going to try.
Stop it.
So here's the new format of the way this is going to work. We're going to try this out because in the past we've just done do you agree or disagree with me. We're going to make you work just a smidge more this time around. If you agree with me and you are correct, you win a prize.
Yes.
Okay. If you disagree with me, You have to give what you think is the correct answer.
So this way, like you brought up the old game Hollywood Squares where they would bluff an answer, but you're right. Not confident with your bluffing skills, and this sort of puts the onus on you.
Well, the bluffing feels like kind of a scam to me.
Yeah.
And so...
You want to be pure.
You're
pure to rock.
Yeah, I want to really try to answer the question. So we'll try it out. And if it tanks, it tanks. We won't do it this way again, but we're going to try it out this way.
All right.
All right. So if you agree and you're correct, you win a prize. If you agree and you're incorrect, you don't win a prize. If you disagree, you have to give what you think is a correct answer. And if you give that correct answer, you win a prize.
There we go.
How about that?
I think that's an interesting rub, as they say.
All right. And what are some of the prizes we have to give away?
So new this week are tickets to see Jim Brewer. He's actually doing a drive-in in Scranton. And that's going to be on Saturday, September 26th.
So
Tickets for that show are actually on sale now at Ticketmaster. We also have, because we are playing Rock Trivia, a digital download for Young Sheldon, the complete third season.
Oh, that's the rockin' season.
As well as downloads of Scoob, downloads of The King of Staten Island and Staten Island, Scoobity-Bap. And then also Caddyshack digital download and digital downloads of Batwoman.
Scoobity-Bap.
Yeah, that's the king of
Staten Island.
All right, do we have some music I could play?
Well, first you got to do this.
Well, yeah, okay. Kristen Elliott, Rock Trivia Game.
Oh, there's no yay. There should be the yeah on the end.
Yeah.
Of that.
I don't know what to tell
you. Going to do that live, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phones, and we will play this. I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, Presbone friends.
Yo. That's the new name of the show.
Presbone Friends.
By the way, hang on, Casey. Is this the new intro? Is this the intro right here?
That's not the intro. That's the sting that we just played.
Need to know. All right, so, Brian, the way this is going to work, Steve's going to ask me a trivia question from my rock trivia game that no one wants to play with me. And if you agree to my answer and you get it correct, you win a prize. If you disagree, then you have to give what is the correct answer, okay?
All righty.
Let's try this out.
So when we say, by the way, this is broad, this isn't like heavy, this is all types of rock.
All right.
Love it. Okay.
Give me classic rock,
everything
whatever.
Metal. Is included in here, yes. Okay. All right, Preston, your question is, what band was named by Al Cooper after he played a late night gig with a badly cut hand?
I'm going to say that is Badfinger.
All right. Brian, do you agree that the band's name is Badfinger?
I agree.
That is incorrect.
Oh man.
The answer is... All right, they cut his hand.
Uh-huh.
Badfinger.
Yeah, that's why I thought finger.
Man. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Didn't know that. All right. Sorry, Brian. See you later.
That's how it works, man. It's tough.
Damn it.
Right.
Let's try it again.
Trivia game.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on.
Yeah.
Oh, we found it.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Ryan, are you there?
No bitches.
All right, Ryan, I'm off to a bad start. Are you ready?
Well, just one. It's fine. And actually, that was a smart guess on considering the question. All right, Preston, your question is, and pay attention, Ryan. What High Flyers became the first band to have their first six albums simultaneously in the U.S. chart in 1975?
All right.
What High Flyers?
I got that part of it. Yep.
Became the first band to have their first six albums simultaneously in the U.S. chart in 1975.
God, six albums in the chart in 1975. High Flyers is obviously a reference to the name of the band, and I immediately start thinking about aircraft. Well, Led Zeppelin.
All right, your answer is Led Zeppelin. And Ryan, do you agree with Led Zeppelin?
I guess I'm going to have to agree on that one.
You are correct! Six albums in the charts at once.
That's amazing. All right, Case, what do we have for Ryan?
All right, well, we have a carload of passes for up to four people to see Jim Brewer at the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Saturday, September 26th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Ryan, hang on. We'll get your information. All right, let's get the next question because we, again, are playing...
Idiots Rock Trivia Game.
Yeah! All right. Let me get our caller on the line, and it is John. Hey, John.
Yeah!
Yeah! Well done.
Can we just do that for 5 minutes?
Yeah,
we can do that, man.
I would do that for
anytime.
5 minutes. All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. John, Preston's question. Ready, Preston? It is, who made his final live performance ever on stage with Elton John at Madison Square Garden?
John Lennon.
Preston's answer is John Lennon. John, do you agree?
I agree.
You are right.
What do we have for John?
John, we got a digital download of School.
All right, hang on, John. Yeah! We'll get your info.
Is that the footage of... No. There's other footage of him where he had been doing a lot of cocaine. It's classic, and his nose is really pinched. But he was in good shape around that time.
If I recall, he was wearing his like olive drab, you know, army jacket,
right?
And he did
something from Double.
He did Come Together, not Double Fantasy. No, it was well before that. And I think that he and Elton did Whatever Gets You Through the Night together at that particular performance.
All right,
if my memory serves. So. All right, we'll go.
You're doing well.
We'll go next to Steve, because Steve, we're playing
Preston Elliott's Rock Trivia Game.
Yeah! Are we patching that together, man?
Yes, Steve, in case he's got one that just sounds like this. Yeah! And he's trying to time it out at the end of the other one. All right, anyway, Steve, are you there?
I'm dying inside.
Yeah. That's Caitlin.
That's nice.
All right, let's play.
All right.
Yeah,
all right, pay attention here, Steve and Preston. Here's your question. What close-cropped hitmaker was born Patricia May Andrzejewski?
Close-cropped. She has short hair, I guess. Patricia is her name. Man, I'm trying to think of short-haired songwriters.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Singers.
Yeah, no hands. I figured she's a performer as well. So.
But you're thinking it out right.
Pat Benatar.
All right. Preston says Pat Benatar. Steve, do you agree or disagree?
That sounds logical to me. I will agree.
You are correct.
That's right.
All right.
Pat, Patricia, makes sense. Yep. All right. All
nice.
Right.
I got it.
Yes.
What do we got for Steve? Thanks,
for
buddy.
You, Steve, we have a digital download of Caddyshack.
Ooh, Caddy. Nice. You know what? I've been listening to some Pat Benatar recently. Goldberg's episode had We Belong.
Yeah.
And I love that song.
So my friends and I did another Beatles competition, playlist competition. And this time around, it was Beatles covers.
Like, right,
so
right.
Artists who had covered Beatles songs. And we had to come up with an album that we felt flowed together. We're in the middle of judging it right now. And I had never heard... I'd forgotten about it, I should say, her version of Helter Skelter. And I put it on there. It's fantastic. Man, God, she's got
her husband's
voice.
Name is
Giraldo. Nick Giraldo? Neil Giraldo.
Neil Giraldo. Yeah. I just keep thinking Greg Giraldo. But the great guitarist, great songwriter.
Yeah. Yeah. So. He's like a Steve Lukather. He's a gun for hire, and he plays on a lot of stuff. He's an excellent musician. All right, we will go next to Devin. Hey, Devin.
Good outing.
Yeah. All right, let's play
Preston Elliott's Rock Trivia Game. Yeah.
You know
it. Nice.
All right, Devin, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, Devin, here's the question for you, Preston. What did the B-52s drop from their name in 2008? What did the B-52s drop from their name in 2008?
What did the B-52s in 2008?
Right.
What did they drop from their name. I'm going to say that they dropped the in the B-52s.
Preston says the in B-52s, Devin. Do you agree or disagree?
I'm going to trust you on this one.
All right, he's agreeing.
I'll say yes.
All right.
That is incorrect.
Oh. I don't know what it could have been.
Son of a...
The apostrophe.
Sorry, man.
Oh, stop it.
Wait,
that's even more nitpicky than the.
Well,
sorry, Devin.
I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it says the same thing. I don't, what, they didn't drop anything.
Right.
And then I'm okay. It's the apostrophe.
The apostrophe, right. I know.
It meant something to them, whatever.
It's from your dumb game that no one plays with
no.
you.
Yeah. All right. No wonder I don't play this game. Go to George next. Hey, George, how you doing, buddy?
Gadzooks.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here
okay,
we go.
George, listen, because you might have to come up with an answer.
Yes, if you disagree, you have to give what you think is the correct answer.
All right, we're going to give this to Preston right. now. Preston, what was the biggest Motown act when the Beatles were at their height?
That's pretty vague.
I know.
When the Beatles were at their height.
What was the biggest Motown act when the Beatles were at their height, when they were the most popular?
I'm going to have to say the Supremes.
Preston says the Supremes. George, do you agree or disagree?
I have no idea, but I'm going to take a chance and disagree and say the Temptations.
Okay.
All right. Preston was correct.
The Supremes were huge.
They were. They
sorry, George.
Yeah.
Sorry, George.
But he tried.
Yeah, he did. He did. And attempts were gigantic as well. But I knew that in that mid to late 60s,
that's
the Supremes
exactly right.
were just on top of the world.
Exactly right.
All right. We'll go to Kristen next. Hey, Kristen, good morning.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
Well done. Kristen, let's play.
Kristen Elliott Rock Trivia Game.
All right.
Nailing it. All right. Get ready, Kristen. Get ready, Preston. Here's your question. What event was advertised as an Aquarian explosion? What event was advertised as an Aquarian explosion?
Steve, I would have to say that that was the Woodstock Music Festival.
The Woodstock Music Festival. Do you agree or disagree, Kristen?
I agree.
That is correct! Yeah.
What do we have for Kristen?
Hey, we got a carload pass for up to four people to see Jim Brewer
sweet.
At the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton. This is Saturday, September 26th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I would imagine we'll talk to Jim probably in the near future.
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk to him next week.
As you can imagine.
Never fails to get me. That and Willy
as you
Wonka.
Can imagine.
Yeah.
All right, let's do another caller. I have Nick on the line. Hey, Nick, you there?
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
Nah, Nick, we're just playing.
Kristen Elliott Rock Trivia Game.
All right, you ready to play, Nick?
I'm born ready.
All right,
Nick, listen, because you might have to answer this question. Preston, the question is, which of Journey's inviting hits was a staple at almost every Britney Spears live show?
What?
Which of Journey's inviting hits was a staple at almost every Britney Spears live show?
Inviting. Journey's one of my favorite bands, too. Let me think about the titles of the songs. I didn't know their relationship with Britney Spears. I had no idea.
I didn't know until I read your rock trivia game that no one plays with me.
I'm trying to think of the big hits because I couldn't see her pulling out a deep cut.
You're working it through.
Yep.
Again, described as one of Journey's inviting hits.
Yeah.
Come on, you didn't go to any Britney concerts back in the day?
No, and I regret it to this day. That's a really interesting question. I'm going to say Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. Do you agree or disagree, Nick? And if you disagree, you have to come up with an answer.
This is a tough one. I'm going to hedge my bets and say I'm going to disagree.
All right. And what is...
It's too obvious, I think. And I'm going to go with Love and Touching.
Love and Touching, Squeezing. Okay.
All right. You're both wrong.
Oh, my God. Oh,
the answer is Open Arms.
Oh.
Come to you with Open Arms.
Oh, that's a lame lead-in clue. Yeah. I blame the game
the
on
game
that one.
That no one plays with you? Game
that no one plays with me. Sorry about that, Nick. Right. Open Arms. I was thinking of something like, you know, like Come to Me
right.
or you know,
sit
referring
on my face.
To an invitation, Sit on My Face, you know. All that stuff.
All right. Okay.
All right. Anyhow.
But maybe the game will redeem itself for the next
one. All right.
Question.
We'll go to Will next. Hey, Will, are you there? He's clearly there. All right. Let's play the game, Will. Here comes your question.
Kristen Elliott's Rock Trivia Game.
Yeah! All right. This one's a little more obscure, but I think you can get this. And you listen up as well, Will. What messianic musical were original Air Supply members Russell Hitchcock and Graham Russell cast members when they met in 1975? What messianic musical were original Air Supply members Russell Hitchcock and Graham Russell cast members of when they met in 1975?
Messianic. I mean, I know what the word means.
Yeah.
I know. What does it mean?
Like Masonic, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Religious.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Preston says Jesus Christ Superstar, Will. Do you agree or disagree?
Agree.
He is right.
Hey!
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Like the Messiah.
Yes.
You showed your work. There you go. The whole process.
Messianic, not Masonic, like Masonic Temple.
Or, yeah.
I don't know.
No, or mess hall where you eat.
Right. Yes. Hey, we got a. Hey, you can eat in your carload as you go see Jim Brewer. You got to pass through the fourth. I'm not Preston. All right, shut up.
You can eat your carload.
You can eat with your carload, right? You don't want to go to this thing on an empty stomach.
I was honestly complimenting
Bring
you.
Bring hot dogs.
What kind of fool eats by himself?
Okay, so Annie farts. You guys have a carload of four people to see Jim Brewer at the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton, Saturday, September 26th, Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah. There are four more questions.
Okay. All right. Okay. And we have three more people on the line. So let's go to Ryan next. Hey, Ryan, are you there?
Hey, dickhead.
Hey, what?
Okay.
It works.
Kristen Elliott.
We're playing it.
Rock Trivia Game.
All right, Ryan, pay attention. Preston, here is your question. Mm-hmm. What New Order song found itself on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1999 when it was covered by the band Orgy? Oh, yeah.
Blue Monday.
Preston immediately is saying Blue Monday, Ryan. What do you say? Is he right or not?
That was a pretty fast answer, so I'm going to have to not go with Kokomo. I'll go with Preston.
Okay. He nailed it, Blue Monday! It's a good cover, too.
All right, what do we have for Ryan?
Hey, Ryan, do you like food? Because you can eat in a carload with up to four people to see Jim Brewer at the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton. That is Saturday, September 26th, and tickets can be bought at Ticketmaster.com.
All right.
We have three more. Do you want to do two?
Well,
we
got another caller coming in, think we can do that.
We'll finish him out.
Finish him out. All right, so I believe it is Jake that we have next. Hey, Jake, how you doing, man?
Hey, where'd you get that hat, Kenny?
Where'd you get that? We're playing the game.
Kristen Elliott's Rock Trivia Game.
If you haven't noticed, we're milking that as
milking
much as possible.
It's so bad, but I love it. And I did it, and I'm saying that.
All right, here's Jake.
All right, Jake, here's the question for Preston. Pay attention. Who hosted the 9/11 benefit concert at Madison Square Garden that raised more than $12 million? Who was the host of that event?
I remember a lot of performers from that event.
One is listed as the official host.
All right, then I will have to say that it is Paul McCartney.
Preston says Paul McCartney. Jake, you agree with him? And if you disagree, you have to come up with another answer. What's your response?
Ah, man. I'm going to say I disagree. I'm going to say George Clooney.
George Clinton?
Clooney.
Oh, Clooney.
Clooney.
You are wrong, and Preston is right!
Oh, man. Ah.
Sorry. Jake, ye of little faith, but thank you. We appreciate it. I remember specifically about that, and it was great. So many great groups were in it, but there was a large contingent of British artists.
There were.
That were performing for this, what was considered an American, you know, event. But it was really cool to see that, and Paul was obviously the big name.
I think Paul had recounted a story of being on the runway in a plane. And
when he got word of it,
or somehow there was something, and I don't want to speak in a half-assed way about this, but there was something he relayed. I found it very touching about his experience.
Okay. Pierre was there. He went to that show. I was working for him at the time, and the Who killed it.
Yeah, Mick Rolling Keith. Stones.
Yeah, I don't think it was the Stones. I think it was Mick and Keith. But
you too,
maybe. But there was a.
Air
you two
supply.
Did America Tribute to Heroes. Anyway, there's a DVD and a CD of this concert for New York City, and it's fantastic.
Okay. You two did America Tribute to Heroes?
A Tribute to Heroes was another album that came out around the same time, and
okay.
You two performed on that.
That's probably what I'm thinking.
I don't remember if they were on the concert for New York City or not.
Okay. We'll go next. We have two more. Let me go to Al. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys.
All right, Al, you ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
If you haven't heard, this game is called...
Question area, rock trivia game.
Yeah! All right, here's your question.
All right, Al.
Or my question.
This is a wild one.
Ooh, good.
What pop rock duo did then President Nixon refer to as public miscreants? What pop rock duo did then President Richard Nixon refer to as public miscreants?
Okay,
I'll give you a hint. It's unlike, you would not normally think of this.
Well, the first, and I've always been trained to go with your first instinct.
Yeah.
So when you said pop rock duo, I would think folk would be more the category. But I'm going to say Simon and Garfunkel because I'm also trying to think of the time that this was in.
Okay, Preston says Simon and Garfunkel, Al. If you agree, that's cool. If you don't, you have to come up with your own answer.
I'm going to agree with him.
No.
Ah!
Believe it or not, he said they were public miscreants. He was talking about Seals and Crofts.
Oh.
What?
Yes.
I was thinking Sonny and Cher.
All right, sorry.
All right.
Miscreants?
Yes. I don't know what the hell they did. They sang Summer Breeze.
Yeah.
How could you have a problem with that?
I don't
like them. I don't like Summer Breeze. It never makes me feel fine.
What were some of their other hits? I don't think there was anything.
Nothing really that bad.
Yeah.
I just didn't like their sound. I didn't dig it.
Diamond Girl. That's a great song. I haven't heard Diamond Girl.
I don't like
Girl
diamonds either. And I don't like girls.
Okay. Miscreant?
Miscreant.
All right, last one. We'll go to Noah. Hey, Noah, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, bud. All right, we're going to play. Hey. This is the last time I get to play this.
Question area, rock trivia game. Yeah!
All right, Noah.
All right, the final question, and we're in definite Preston territory here.
Okay.
What Beatle, other than Ringo, did not use his real name?
Paul. Paul McCartney.
Preston says, Paul, Noah, do you agree?
I'm definitely going with him, yeah.
He is right! Paul's first name is James.
That is correct, and he went with Paul, so that means Noah wins!
Yes!
And you won a digital download of Scoob!
Hope you like food.
Eat some food while you watch that movie.
Scooby likes food.
Yeah. He likes Scooby snacks.
Dagwood sandwiches and whatnot.
All right. Well, thank you for allowing me to play my game.
Yeah.
No one wants to play. Nobody plays with me ever. This is the only time I ever get to play it, like twice a year, however often we do it.
But it's suitable, though, for the A to Z, which we're really enjoying and reminiscing over.
That's what made me think of it. While we were kicking around, we had a lot of prizes. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, it ties right in with... Because I've been diving back into it, and it happens every year with the A to Z.
Yeah.
I tweeted out yesterday, this is when I go from staff member to fan.
Yeah.
I always love listening to MMR, but I really spend a lot of time because we're here all day. We hear the radio station.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't drag work home all the time, so I don't listen all the time. But this is the time of year when I will just, I will go outside, I'll put the radio station on, and I will just zone out and listen.
Great.
And I love it, so I'm a fan of this time of year. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. In a little while, our friend Glenn Howerton from AP Bio, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, will be joining us. And we have some other things to get into as well, so stay put. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Can't find another reason why this one hurts. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Oye, como va? I thought I had heard is it translated, oye, como va, means this is how it goes. But reading the literal translation is, listen how my rhythm goes.
Huh.
It's good for enjoying. Mulata, and I'm not sure what mulata means, but that's essentially the basic thing is just listen to this groove, enjoy it.
Oh,
that's essentially okay. What the crux of that song is this is here's some, this sounds good. Listen to it. Enjoy it.
You all know? Right.
So I love that. Yeah. So it's repeated over and over. Listen how my rhythm goes. It's good for enjoying mulata. Listen how my rhythm goes. It's good for enjoying mulata
or culata, perhaps the Dunkin' Donuts drink.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
They're way ahead of their time.
They're great. And we run on Duncan and Santana.
Mulata. If anybody knows what mulata...
I'd be curious.
...means, please let me know. And I believe Greg Raleigh plays keyboards on that. Greg Raleigh went on to be he was one of the founding members of Journey.
I love that organ sound, too, which is a Hammond organ, is it not?
Yeah, it's a Hammond. It's a B3 Hammond set up probably with a Leslie cabinet. So.
Classic sound.
Yeah, so very good stuff, man. I love it. So we're done with the O's. We're moving into the P's.
Mm, you've been excited about the P's.
You
love P.
My name.
I love P.
My name starts with a P, so P has always been my favorite letter. I've never taken a look at what song titles start with P. Hang on a second here.
I already see a... discretion or discrepancy.
You do?
Yeah.
Can you point to it?
The very first song. There's two
Love
songs.
Love Lies Waiting?
No, there's two songs that are the same exact...
title?
Title. But okay. It's not the same song. It's not a cover.
Okay.
And I think I might have to spike the other one that's not in there.
Is it by Fish?
No. God, okay. No. No, okay. No, no.
Just checking. Anyhow, let's stay with Casey for a moment.
Okay.
Because he had a question or an observation of sorts.
Okay. Oh, so is this about the purchase that I made? All right. So,
well, it has to do with money.
It does.
I think it's a universal decision or a universal thing that people deal with.
Right. So, I made a purchase last week. I'll just say, I bought a inflatable stand-up paddleboard. Here's the deal. Paddleboards are expensive, and even the stand-up inflatable ones.
Inflatable?
Yeah.
I didn't know they made that. Okay.
They
would seem kind of too spongy for...
Yeah. No, believe it or not. So I bought this body glove one, and they're expensive. And by the way, just a side note, if you see a website where they're selling paddleboards for $75, it is a scam website. Do not purchase anything from that. You're not going to find a stand-up paddleboard, inflatable or plastic, for less than $200, maybe even $300.
Well, it's the same thing we talked about with the pools and the hot tubs. They're the same.
You can't
type
get a hot
website.
Tub for $75?
No, but they rip you off.
Yeah, no. Yeah. My buddy yesterday was like, "Oh my god, look at this!" And he sent it to me. I'm like, "It's a scam." And then I took the URL and I put it into the a scam website, basically Finder. And sure enough, it was a scam website. So that's not where we're going with this.
Before we continue Nicole had called in, and mulata means half and half, dark and light at the same time. Maybe that's like yin and yang.
Yeah.
So thank you, Nicole.
Or seals and cross.
Not going to be able to go. No, those, what were they?
They were the miscreants.
thank you, Nicole. We're not going to be able to go to your call right now, but I appreciate the translation. Okay.
All right. So this really is just a matter of like, how do you look at this? I look at this as basically a coupon. And what I'm talking about is
I had a change jar, like a giant, like one of those water gallon jugs. It's,
right.
It's glass, and I had been chucking change in there for a couple of years
now. You're a change chucker.
I'm a change chucker. And I finally, I cashed it all in. By the way, Republic Bank is the only bank in the area that doesn't charge you to cash your change in, even if you're not a member there.
Right.
And I'm not a member.
So you cashed it in and you had this money.
I had $201
right.
in change that I cashed in. I look at that $201 as basically a $200 coupon to the purchase that I had made. Do you know what I'm
saying?
I'm not a chucker. Well, yes, I'm a change chucker, but I also am a change changer.
And a wheel watcher.
And a wheel watcher.
So,
what do you think? I mean, I know
no, it's
money.
It's not a coupon. Like, I would still have to find the best deal on the item I was getting, but it is, like, yes, it's kind of like given money. It's just there.
I would call it found money.
Yeah, found money.
That's it. So, in other words, it's out of the flow of your normal currency flow.
Okay.
And so, and therefore, it's, I think, for example... So I have my Amazon account and my Amazon credit. I get points back when I make purchases, and I accrue points for purchasing other things. I tend to get more frivolous with those points that I get.
Oh, really?
Because
you'll just buy anything because their points are there.
Well, something if it's a little self-indulgent, I'll do that, you know?
See, yeah. Okay, yeah. So if it's something that I've been like, wanting or waiting for, like when I went into the...
I couldn't... you know, convince myself that I could do it. And then when I have that extra, okay.
Then you do. When I went into the Hermes store, the Marron Glacé, that was that. I had gift cards. People had given me gift cards. I had a bunch of them. And so I was going to splurge and buy myself something.
Did the woman look at these and go, these aren't even real?
Yeah. You're not paying with cash.
You're not paying.
You're using... wonderful little cards. Like one might find in a rock trivia contest. Yeah.
All right, so then let me ask you. If your spouse then asked you how much you spent on said thing, like for instance, Steve, I had $300 in Amazon gift cards and I ended up buying a Segway scooter. Mm. When people ask me how much I spent, I go $100 because $100 out of pocket is what I spent.
This is what this is all about.
Yeah.
Diane was
No.
Money. I can see that. I will support you in that because you're saying
that's not how. No, you still spent $300.
But still, because
you used it in a gift card doesn't mean you didn't spend it.
If you use the found money, if it's gift cards, first off, if it's gift cards, it was given to you, so you just spent. That's something that. In and above, you spent $100 of your own money.
Right, but here's what I'd say. It cost $300, but I had gift cards, so I only had to spend $100.
Right.
That still cost $300.
Are we subtly asking a bigger question here, or are we asking the change question?
What do you think is a bigger question?
The spouse question.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I don't want to get him in trouble.
No, spouse question. Okay. It's just a simple, for instance, when I had gotten to the store.
Who are you sleeping with?
When I had gotten to the store. Apparently, my son lately, he hops in bed with me every single night.
Now you're talking.
All right, so I was going to make said purchase as a surprise, and I was going to bring it to her and present it to her. But when I had gotten to the store, I knew I had gone there for an inflatable. When I had gotten to the store, they had actually had the plastic ones, and the plastic ones were actually cheaper.
Okay.
But they're tougher to store.
Yeah.
And transport and all that sort of stuff. So I was like, ah, man, now I have to call her. And ruin the surprise and tell her that I have two options, right? So when she was asking me how much the inflatable one cost, I gave her the price, sans the 200 and you know.
But you didn't.
No, you can't do that.
I think you can. The question is, you had $200 in gift cards.
Yeah.
That was not out of your pocket.
Not gift cards. It was
$200
in change.
Change.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you give the full price, then you say, but we had all that change, so really, I only spent.
That's what I would have said,
right?
Yeah.
As opposed to essentially
lying.
I
was being deceptive, guys.
I spent, I spent $300, but it was $200 in change.
Yeah.
That's why.
We look at that jar, because we have a giant jar. KCR's is huge, and it takes about 5 years to fill it. And so by the time we're done with it, it's just under $2,000 that
right.
we get out of this. And this is just pocket change. These are quarters and dimes and nickels and all that stuff.
And everyone's popping in.
But it's mainly me.
Okay.
So I come in, and lately I haven't been spending cash since COVID hit. I've just been using cards. But we never look at that as actual money. We look at that as just a
coupon.
Yeah, of sorts.
Yes.
A coupon, if you will.
I remember, and it was funny, though, but I think it's where you are. I remember when I was between jobs and I was doing auditions and all this stuff, and we had a lot of bills come due, and I remember going to the Coinstar and saying, we need, and paying bills with what we got. Now, fortunately, we had like, $600 or $700 in that thing, and it helped. But I mean, yeah, so if you go and buy an inflatable, something, when that's the situation, that's frivolous. But when if you're okay, it is sort of found money, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of the credit card points, because you had mentioned that, it's nothing that we'd so rarely use that accrued credit that we have. It's been so long since we used it. Hopefully my kids aren't listening, but for Christmas this year, we're going to be able to get them 3 new iPhones. That's
nice.
How much we have built up on it.
There's so many things and not hoops, but there's so many caveats to how you spend the points that I never bother to go through it. Amazon is straight through. You may spend, you get a percentage of, that back, and it's there in dollars.
Yeah.
And then it'll ask you if you want to apply it to your next purchase. It's, the way they do it is seamless.
We don't really have any hoops to jump through. There's just a list of stuff you can get.
They provide a list of stuff you can get.
Depending on which card you use. Yeah, we have one card that does credit for Marriott hotels.
Okay.
And then another one is for, a variety of different products. But it's pretty extensive.
Yeah, when I've looked at the things on this one card, it's like, I don't need any of this.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll be interested to see when people start flying normally again.
And
because I'm not going to have to pay for a flight for a while. I have so many credit card points built up on my one credit card.
Right.
And then I had to cancel two different sets of flights this year. I was going to go to the Southwest. I was going to go to Death Valley. Everything that I got back was all that was on Southwest, and then I was going to go to Glacier National Park. That was all on United, and that was refunded as well. But it was refunded in airline credit, which is cool. I'll use it at some point, but like when is, I guess, the big question.
What about this? If you buy something and you return it and you get a credit for it, do you consider that credit just sitting there?
That's found money. That's like the change jar.
Found money.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to pose that to you about the airline miles as well, because that was another question that I had with my wife, because next year I wanted to do something out west. There's a whole bunch of a run of Phish concerts that I would like to go to. And so I was sitting there. I was like, all right. So, and she goes, oh, here we go. I go, no. I'm like, I can get there and back for free. I mean, essentially, all I had to do was spend thousands of dollars on my credit card in order to get those free airline tickets.
But you weren't doing it exclusively to get those.
But airline miles have different rules.
Yeah.
They do. They're blackout dates and things like
that. No. I mean, like, in my mind, they have different rules that I would not use airline miles to, say, fly somewhere, quick and easy, Florida, you go to Nashville, something like that. It's got to be, the price has to be over a certain amount. Don't waste your miles on a quick, easy, cheap flight.
Well, to that point, there were a lot of people who, during the whole lockdown and everything, who had all these trips planned, and then they got all that money, they couldn't use it, so now it's sitting there in these accounts, basically, or on their credit cards, or refunded back. And I've been talking to a few people. They're like, for example, like the home improvement industry has skyrocketed because people just said, I'm going to put a deck on the house or all that stuff. So it just got refunneled, to other things.
I wonder what the travel industry is going to be like next year, because there's all this pent up demand built up from 2020.
People are chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
They've got to go someplace.
Yeah. Aren't going to want. Well, they originally.
You got to go.
But they originally put a deadline on when you could travel, like if there were different trips and stuff like that. I'm guessing that can't be in place now.
All of mine got extended. All my travel airline vouchers got extended through all of 2021 and maybe even in 2022.
Haven't they been much easier to? My wife is traveling right now. And she said that switching dates and all that stuff, they made it much easier.
I'm just from personal experience, customer service has gone through the roof in a positive direction.
And the handies and everything.
Yeah, a lot of the airlines have
with a hot towel.
Done away with their fees for changing flights. Yeah, By the way, let me test my Preston and Steve show trivia knowledge.
Right.
When you said you gots to go. Yeah. Is that when Casey was stuck on the Schuylkill?
Yes.
And a guy got out and was running down the street screaming, "You got to get out of here!
Yeah, we were stuck in between two giant car fires.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, you win.
Got that one.
Yeah.
Preston and Steve Rock Trivia Show. Trivia. Yeah!
Wait, so is that Jar?
Yeah!
Is your jar empty now, Case?
It's empty.
Okay.
By the way... I
dun dun dun.
I guessed because you can guess how
it
much
it was. The librarian.
I guessed $200 even. It was $201.07.
Oh, you win,
dude! And like
you win a paddleboard.
You win a paddleboard.
No. She didn't even offer me the prize, which I was like, "Come on, man!" And she's and then when I asked her about it, she goes, "Well, it's usually just
who
the lady at the bank."
What
are you talking about?
You get the guess.
I thought you were talking about your own jar.
Yeah, me too.
So why would you give yourself a prize?
Yeah, I didn't think. Okay.
When I had put all the money into a little money counting machine, before you do that, you can guess to see how much is in your change jar.
And what's your bank that you do?
It's not my bank, but it was Republic Bank. I was in within $1.07, which I get a prize for that.
What'd you get?
Okay. Lollipop. She didn't even offer me a prize. And then when I asked her about it, she goes, "Well, it's usually just for the kids."
Wow.
I go, "Ma'am, I know.
Excuse me, ma'am. I am a child.
I am a giant child." I go, "Well, just tell me what the prizes would be, you know?
So hang on a second.
It's a balloon.
Basically.
Do you want your balloon?
Would you like your balloon, sir?"
It was like pens and then like...
"Do you want a unicorn or a monkey?"
So before it, before you get the total, or before you put your money in or however, it says on
it's
the
like,
screen...
"Hey, buddy!" And it's like a kid and a dog. "Do you want to guess to see how much..."
All of them are actually like the one that used to be at my bank. It was designed more for kids. "Hey, look!" And this, the same sort of animation and the whole deal.
Okay.
If you're just a slow adult...
And it says... You could win a prize?
Yeah, it doesn't say what the prize is, but like, man, I was all for it.
And remember, this is for kids only.
And then at the...
It didn't say that, though.
Unless you're a stupid adult.
And then at the end of it, when you realize it, now how close did you have to come to win?
I was super duper close. I guess it was within, a couple of bucks or whatever.
$2 or whatever? Okay.
And I was $1.07 off.
And at the end, did it say congratulations or
you
anything
won,
like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. That's what I'm
Unless
saying.
Unless you're an adult man with kids and a wife, then it'd be ludicrous to give you a prize. It'd just be pathetic.
No.
How does she not know that my kids aren't in the car waiting
I'm
for
with
me
you.
With my wife?
I'm with you, Casey.
I don't see any kids. You seem to be here by yourself.
By the way, Marissa just handed me this story about, I did not know this. It says, Wawa launches sweepstakes to counter the national coin shortage.
Yes, this is something that I was going to mention as well. You go into a lot of stores and they're sort of now begging for coins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've mentioned it. We talked about it on the air. There's a shortage.
Yes.
But did you know about this?
No.
Customers can enter to win shorties for an entire year by exchanging a minimum of $5 in rolled coins for dollar bills at any Wawa store. Wow. Okay.
Yeah!
So that runs through... it runs through October 1st, and the shorties for year sweepstakes and extension of Wawa's customer coin exchange program. Participants who exchange $5, well, I already said all this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you exchange $5 or more of coins, receive a coupon for a free coffee, fountain beverage, and or an icy, while customers who exchanged $50 or more received a coupon for a free shorty hoagie.
And a paddleboard.
Huh. Oh,
both in Wawa and in Dunkin', I use the app exclusively. And they're really convenient, and you get rewards like instantaneously.
The Dunkin' app is crazy.
They're both really great. And I really enjoy using that way. But as a result, Preston, I don't ever bring cash or coins into the Wawa, but maybe I should.
I've had the same bills in my wallet.
Totally.
pretty much since COVID started. I've just gone exclusively.
It's Civil War money.
Well, now they actually ask you to round your bill up to
charity. I do like
charity.
That. Yeah. And there's, like, for example, CVS, you know, because I buy a lot of pharmaceuticals and then sell them to children. Yeah. And I, that rounding up thing is a great idea.
So a couple of months ago, I was at my bank, and there was an old lady who I held the door for, and she went in because she had heard about the change shortage, and she had a bag of change, and the bank didn't accept loose change.
You're very sweet, but I don't put out.
She was a nun. She was a nun. She was like a 90-year-old nun. I didn't know
this. You should have known she didn't put out.
I know.
Okay. You perv.
So I felt terrible for her because she was on a walker, and she was having a hard time, and then so they were like, you know, you can go to the Acme right there. And so I ended up helping her out, and I, like, walked her all the way down to the Acme. I ran up. I got her a cart, and then I brought the cart to her, and then I took her to the change machine, counted all the change.
Why don't we go for drinks?
Dude.
Wait, did you say Republic Bank?
Yeah.
Where, I can't find any locations.
There's one in Wynwood. I went to the one in Media. So anyway.
You have this nun who's having a tough time.
She had a tough time, and so I get her change. She's trying to give me money. I'm like, I'm not doing this for money.
Yeah.
So what I thought was going to be like 5-10 minutes ended up being like a half hour because we're standing in line now.
You remind me of my husband. I thought you were a nun. I just put this on to get the freebie. Oh,
man. So we're now
the same sort of boyish charm.
That's a bad habit, man.
Why
did it take you 30 minutes?
Because as we're standing in line to get the money back for the change that we had...
take your shirt off and do push-ups.
I don't think this is a nun.
She had
Listen,
me.
She's older. Yeah. She's older.
So we're standing in line, and she goes, oh dear, I forgot I needed to do something at the bank. You know, so she was at the bank for a couple of different reasons. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll go back to the bank, and we'll make sure you're taken care of.
I'm waiting for you to leave.
And then, no, I really helped her out, Kath.
She walks out the door, and then she turns around and says, shake him up!
She had, like, a club foot, and so she couldn't really walk at all. So, she and then she was like, oh, and then I forgot I had to mail these things. I'm like, oh, we'll take you to mail your things. And then so we did the mail, and then we went back to the bank. And then I brought it to her car, and I basically lifted her and put her in her car. Yeah. And wow. then
Ooh, I, and I have to hand wash my panties.
Oh, my God.
Could you help me?
Anything for you.
Sister.
The
washing machine destroys them. Wash them with your hands with your shirt off.
Oh, my God. But do push-ups
first. Stand on the other side of this screen and get yourself aroused.
Oh, my God.
Anything for you.
All right.
You've lived a hard life.
What happened?
You deserve this. And so the worst part, I think, was after I had put her in her car and she started to drive off, is I had to now take this cart back to the supermarket. So now I look like this guy, you know, and then I saw people that I knew that I'm riding this cart in the parking lot of the Acme, and they're like,
oh, it's a motorized car.
Okay,
that makes it a different thing. Yeah.
And it almost went like negative miles per hour. This thing was so damn slow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you saw people you knew as you're scooting across.
I was like, hey, guys. And then.
I'm just hanging out with a nun with a club foot.
And then it looked like I was stalking her because I went to the gas station and she was at the gas station as well. I was like, I am
she
oh
was
dear,
waiting for you
this
to leave.
Dude's into me. Yep. Oh dear, he's turned on.
We need to have a whole Casey segment called "And Then."
Uh-huh.
That should be one name of Clubfoot Freaks.
He's got a fetish for club feet.
I let him sniff it, and then he can go.
God.
Smells like cheese, doesn't it? You like that, don't you? Wow. You're a bad boy.
Well, you're down there.
Sniff that foot.
Could have sworn God was going to... He was going
to give you bonus points?
Reward you for that.
He did. He gave you a paddle
Let me ask you a question. I know we're running out of time here, but when you commit to doing something like that, when you go to help someone
a good
that,
deed.
Yeah.
Let's say you don't have a half hour. You've got 5 minutes. Hey, I figure that's what this will take, and I'll help this person out. And then it starts to drag on and on. Is there a time when you can say, I'm sorry, I have to go?
You push them down.
Just push them down.
No, I would just say, okay, I'm glad we got you here to the bank. Good luck. And, you know, have a nice day. And you walk away.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because I had a half hour.
You did, okay.
But I didn't.
I'm a ghost.
But I didn't have 45 minutes. Do you know what I mean? So, she was a ghost?
No, you're a ghost.
You're a ghost.
Oh, I helped you.
Yes.
I must go now. Ooh. You didn't smell my foot. And I know you're horny for that stuff. You freak.
This is terrible.
You freak.
I need to pay you. You want to smell my club foot, you freak.
She just owns it.
How did this start with this change?
You freak.
You freak.
Hey, you may smell the foot yet, you freak. Come on back.
Now I'm actually imagining what a club foot would smell like.
Butterscotch.
Smells like butterscotch.
I only say butterscotch because there was a whole bunch of change in there that had been like stuck together by what seemed like
I hate that.
Melted butterscotch.
That's the bane of, in fact, that's why a lot of the coin machines were issues, because you would get these, they would jam up the machine, and then they almost had like an employee whose entire job was to jam those machines.
Mine's filled with coins and matchbox cars.
Of course.
Is there another and then, or are we done?
And then a meteor hit.
No, I would love another and then. Trust me. I would love it. I've loved every minute of this conversation, to be honest.
No, that was it. I saw her at the gas station, and then she flew to Aspen and out of my life forever.
Somebody texted in this. Karen Casey and the Clubfoot Clergy. I'd watch that. It's the foot, right?
Dude, dig the foot. It's gnarly, but it smells like butterscotch.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, we got to move on.
All right. We do. Reminding you, we have a secret text word. If you like the show Supergirl, we have the complete fifth season for you to win. Text word secret to 39333, and we will send a word back to you. We'll ask you to call in with that word. Designated caller wins. We're also going to grab a random text or two. We'll take a break. When we come back in a moment, Glenn Howerton, even he would jump in on the Clubfoot conversation asked him to. He'll be joining us, and Bizarre File coming up as well. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I just thought of something. If Casey ever opens up a night spot.
Yes.
You can call it Club Foot.
Oh, Club Foot. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect.
Building on our previous conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. By the way, I want to thank a listener. Is this Janine? Is that what it says here, Nick?
Yeah.
She decided to send us a whole bunch of Tootsie Pops. And she says her favorite are the lemons, so try them.
Listen, that means a lot. When I was trick-or-treating when I was a kid, Tootsie Pops made the cut.
I love Tootsie Pops. I just don't know why Janine brought it upon herself to send us, like, you know, a couple hundred of them. But that's awesome.
Perhaps she has a club foot.
Thank you, Janine, and I hope you and your club foot are okay. But she wrote, I definitely know that it takes more than three licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
That's
practice
very nice.
Makes perfect. But she said, please try the lemon pops. So all right. Good. All right. Thank you very much, Janine.
Stay we do away appreciate from it. Pops here. No, it's very sweet that someone would take the time to do that.
Our next guest is awesome. We are happy to have him on, and we are happy that AP Bio has a home on a streaming service. It's on Peacock.
This is great news, because I really enjoyed this show, and I thought it was cast off into the ether, and it is not.
And we've had the pleasure of being able to spend time with him in person on more than a few occasions. He's an awesome guy. Please welcome Glenn Howerton to the show. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, guy. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I don't know. It's been too long. It's been too long.
It has been long.
It seems like a decade, and it's only been a few months.
Yeah.
Has it really? Oh, my God.
What's before we get to the show and all that stuff, what's quarantine life brought out in you? Because people are, you know, seeing changes in themselves and so on. Anything, or is it steady as she goes?
That's really funny. Most people are just like, how's quarantine life going? And you guys are like, what is it bringing out in you?
Because we know that for many, it's almost like when someone gets lit up, it'll accentuate aspects of their personality.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, it's you know, it's actually led to some good habits and I would say some bad habits.
All right.
You know, I've weirdly been my wife and I built this house, and I've made myself a little office in the of the basement's not a great place for an office in some ways, because there's like very little light, so it's a little strange. But we have these little light wells, but it's also like working in a hole. But you know, it's quiet down there, and I've actually been super productive since we've been in quarantine, and I've also been working out a lot, so I'm in really good shape. But okay, so those are the good things. Mm-hmm. But and also spending more time with my kids, that's a good thing.
Oh yeah, that too.
I would argue that's also a bad thing.
That's a bad thing.
Something insane. But there's also a little bit more drinking than usual.
Well, if you're working out, you're earning those drinking calories.
That's exactly how I justify it. I don't know that my liver agrees with me.
You're a health conscious guy, because I remember one time we were at the Core Golf outing event, and Charlie had noted, he had said something to me. He's like, "Watch Glenn, he's going to get his own special meal. He'll say something about that and make sure that." So you're very conscious about what you take into your body already.
I am actually, yeah. I eat vegan, I would say, probably around 95% of the time. I didn't used to. I was always trying different kinds of diets. Like, I was doing paleo for a long time, and you know, I'm always trying to figure out the healthiest diet, you know, and way to stay fit and all that. And I sort of the last 3 years have landed on the vegan thing, and
okay.
Enjoy it. It's not always easy to cram your face full of vegetables, but
it's getting easier though, I found. So I've always on a basic just ethical level as an animal person and loving all, you know, that I was always looking for the entree into vegetarianism and veganism, and it's just that the food in general stunk. And they've really gotten good at making the dishes that are sensational. And the amount of places that offer those options and do a good job of it, it's exponentially that much more. So now it's a legit option. And especially if you eat more of a fast food way, you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's also a way to eat vegan that's extremely unhealthy. But you're right, it is it's definitely more ethical toward the planet, and if you're actually doing it the right way, it seems like the science seems to point to that it's the healthiest way to eat as well.
All right, well, let's talk about this, about AP Bio making the jump to streaming. How do you feel about that?
It's great. I mean, honestly, obviously, what else am I going to say? But the truth is, it's been really, really good because not only has Peacock totally supported the show, but the show has always done well with a streaming audience from the very beginning. I mean, it skews a little bit younger. It skews toward the type of audience that streams shows. They don't watch shows linear on NBC, and that became apparent very quickly when the ratings were okay on NBC, but not amazing. Tons of people were streaming it because at the time it was on Hulu. So, you know, when Universal, which is who makes AP Bio, decided to drop Peacock and they decided to, you know, put on original shows, they picked us up very quickly because they saw that we had a good streaming audience. And it's also been great because we don't have the same restrictions that we had on NBC. And, you know, not that the show is getting like super profane now or anything, or, you know, ultra violent or anything, but, you know, but it does free up a little bit of artistic, you know, it does give you a little bit more license to take things a little bit further than you could on NBC. And also we have a little bit more time to tell the stories, which is crucial. If you know, for a show like ours, which has, well, like AP Bio, that has a huge cast of characters, you know, you want to be able to have like B and C stories and explore some of the crannies of the school that are harder to do when you don't have as much time.
So my wife and I watched the show from the get-go and really, really enjoyed it. The ensemble is everything, as you said. And you have like Patton Oswalt, and you have a number of great the kids who are in your AP class, who you, being the deranged character that you are, employ them for revenge often. You know, they're just, they all have good stories, and there's a great chemistry. But you're right, as much as you try, you can't, in 21 commercial minutes, it's hard to get, you know, a full story out. But this is great, and I was legitimately we were legitimately sad when we heard, at least the perception was, it had been canceled. So having it come back for, is it 8 episodes on Peacock?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 10. We had just finished shooting the 8th episode when everything shut down because of COVID. So that's the only reason it's 8 and not 10.
Okay.
We I mean, we just were able to. I'm glad we were able to get out of eight when we could, because I mean, I don't know if they would have aired it. If it had
yeah,
episode season or something. I mean, maybe who knows? but the good news is, I mean, I could the show has really, in my opinion, the show has really really found its stride in the third season. I mean, I love the first two seasons. I think they're great. I think they're super weird and funny and strange. But like, season three is almost every episode is the best episodes from seasons one.
Well,
and two.
You start look. Your character is a you know a little bit. Well, there's a little bit of derangement. There's a little bit of revenge. But you get flashes of humanity and things that allow you to sort of center and focus in on, and that was starting to happen in the second season a little bit. So it's cool that we get a third season to see these characters and you specifically and everyone follow through. That's going to be very cool.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I think he's warming. He's really warming up to Toledo. He's warming up to the kids. He's warming up to the school and all that. But. You know, but the great thing is the beautiful thing about it, the thing that I think makes the show so interesting is that he can't really show it to them or he feels like he can't show it to them because he feels this, you know, he has his ego wants him so desperately to be this elitist, you know, Harvard professor guy. And so he has to fight this pull towards being, you know, the softy hometown Toledo boy.
Right.
You know, and you know, so that tension is really interesting. But I do like that. You know, it gives me a chance as an actor, which is great, to play, you know, some warmer, sweeter, kinder stuff, which, you know, we obviously don't do.
Well, speaking of Sunny, I mean, I was thinking about you and your castmates, and you guys are kind of all over every single streaming platform that there is at this point, because Rob's got Apple Plus, and you have Peacock TV, and Caitlin's on Quibi and wherever else, and then Sunny itself is on, I think it's on Hulu and FXX Plus, and there's so many different ways to consume you guys in so many different platforms. Do you ever find it confusing? Because I do.
Well, it was one of my worries when they were like, okay, we are going to pick the show up, but it's going to be on streaming. I was like, yes. And it's going to go on something called Peacock. And I was like,
yeah.
So what is that? And they were like, it's a new streaming. So I was like, a new streaming service. Oh my God. Why? Who's going to do another, you know, but since then, you know, since they've been, you know, building that brand out and everything, like I look on Peacock and I'm like, dude, like no joke. There's so much amazing, amazing stuff on that service. Like I mean, you know, with everything that's out there, I was like, well, God, how are you going to compete with all these other things? But I would say, I mean, based on what's up there, I'm like, God, man, I'm in good company.
Glenn,
here.
I picked it up immediately because I think it was just after the actor who played Eddie Haskell died. I happened to and it popped up on an Xfinity. Good news for people: if you have Xfinity, you can get it immediately, and it's basically another channel. You can access all of this stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's easily accessed. And every freaking Leave It to Beaver episode was there for the taking, plus tons of other stuff. So we end up watching it all the time. It's perfect. I know what you're saying, though. It's like, oh my God, here's another freaking thing to add to my apps or whatever. But
yeah.
it integrates now with Comcast and Xfinity. It's seamless.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. I don't have Comcast and Xfinity, so I haven't experienced it. But that's what I've heard. And,
yeah.
It's really cool. And I got to say about Quibi, like. You know, it was tough that they launched at a time when everybody – it was supposed to be like a – you know, you can watch all these shows on your cell phone or whatever. But and it was at a time when everyone was like, well, I guess we're staying home now.
Yes.
You know, but ever since they made it so that you could AirPlay it onto your you know, your device, your Apple TV or, you know, Roku or whatever, that's when I started really watching the Quibi stuff and finally saw Caitlin's show because I didn't want to watch it by myself. I wanted to watch it with my wife. Caitlin's show is terrific. And I did a show on there called The Fugitive too, which is really cool.
What happens is, unfortunately is, you know, there is a wealth of great stuff that, you now run the opposite risk of what used to be. How do you find, you know, there's nothing on that's worth watching. Now there's a tremendous amount of stuff and things get lost in the proverbial sauce. So, you know, you're almost reticent to recommend a show to someone because they're probably watching 15 things you're not watching.
It's true. That's why I'm so happy AP Bio is as odd and strange as it is.
Because it is. To people who are wondering, let me jump in here, because the characters there is, if you're an Always Sunny fan, you're going to find a tone that's very similar, but there is there's a lot more going on. And I think your supporting cast again is that's everything. That's a make or break in a show, and the cast is fantastic.
Oh my God, they're amazing. Like every single cast member is a total scene stealer. It's incredible. I mean, you're excited to see this whenever the students are on. You're excited to see them whenever the other teachers are on. You're excited to see what they're going to do. I mean, it doesn't feel like any other show that's on TV.
Who's the woman playing the secretary for Patton, the principal secretary? She's great.
Oh, Paula Pell. Yeah, she was. You know, she was an actor and a performer for years, but mostly what she's known for is being a writer on Saturday Night Live. Huh. Yeah, she was a writer on SNL. She would pop up in skits every once in a while. I don't know why she wasn't a cast member, you know, and you know, talking to her about it, I'm like, I can't believe, you know, because she's kind of like breaking out and becoming a little bit of a star now. And, you know, she's like in her 50s, and it's like, why did it take you so long? You are so smart and so funny, you know, and she was like, because I finally aged into the characters that I've always been playing. So, you know, she kind of grew up doing a lot of sketch stuff, and she was like in her 20s and 30s playing 50-year-old women, which works in sketch, but it doesn't work, you know, if you're actually playing that person on a real show or in a play or so. You know, you can't really, if you're 30, you're not really playing 50, but it works in a sketch. So she's now that age that she's actually the age of the characters that she's always played, and that's her reason. That's why she's like, that's why it's taken so long.
With her writing credits, speaking of writing, is that something you've been jotting down any ideas since you've had a little extra time on your hands?
That's all I've been doing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I've got a pilot that I've been working on, and I've got a screenplay that I'm desperately trying to finish that's killing me. But that's pretty much what I've been doing the entire quarantine.
I wanted to ask you because Dennis and Jack, the character you play in AP Bio, they share a similar mindset, and it's a kind of character I like to see that makes me laugh. What do you think is the attraction, at least for you and for people who are drawn to that kind of character, that just makes it a it's a laugh getter? What about that type of person works for you?
Well, I think there's a few things. One, I think, you know, whenever you've got somebody who's a little bit of a narcissist or super egotistical, I think you want to see them fail. I think there's pleasure in sort of watching somebody with an attitude like that not do well. So I think there's the sort of wish fulfillment side of it. But I think it's also like showing the humanity behind that in a way.
Yeah.
Like making it clear to the world that, hey, it's not okay to be this way, because this is actually a very fragile person. You know, I mean, that to me is the kind of the key behind it, is that, you know, anyone who has such a big ego and is super narcissistic like that, it's because they're actually very, very, very fragile. And it's because, you know, often I think it's because they actually feel so much that they have to bury it and hide it with this big ego, so that they don't have to like feel the big feelings, or, you know, feelings of rejection or whatever, you know. And
you sort of love them, but you also enjoy the comeuppance. And then also that also is an opportunity for their humanity to be revealed, which is an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think once you have those moments, you know, I mean, certainly on AP Bio, where you see that tough exterior break and you see it crack and you see the little boy inside the big egotistical man, there's something really kind of heartbreaking about that, I think. And but you know, I also think that it's important, like, I think if you are a narcissist and a egotistical person, like, I don't think it would work for that kind of a person to play,
right?
That would never work, you know, I think it's important that, like, I'm not that way at all.
You could not do what you do and be that way. I can't see it.
I don't think so. I don't think there wouldn't be the warmth.
Yeah.
Hopefully that I like to think that people can see a little bit of who I really am, you know, sort of underneath the character, and that's kind of part of what makes
it. It's got to be fun to pretend to be that way, though, right?
Oh, it's so fun.
It's got to be. Yeah.
I love it. I've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I have to tell you, in the quarantine, I've drawn a great deal, an almost a troubling amount of pleasure from watching the outtakes and blooper reels from It's Always Sunny from all the years. And they are effing hilarious. And I'll tell you something. I said to these guys, in a collective of super talented, funny people, your stuff and the way you crack up Charlie is just a joy. And there are, I will go to and watch them over and over again. The scene where you and Charlie are trying to decide, you're talking to the police detective, the investigator, about being molested and what exactly happened. And the door that Charlie thinks says pirate, and you're saying, you mean the door that says private, or you're trying to convince him not to eat cat food. When you crack him up, it is just the best. Can you remember the longest time it took for you to regain your composure when you were working with him dealing with one of these laughing fits?
Well, the scene where we're talking to the sketch artist in the police has to be one of the most difficult. That was one of the most difficult scenes to get through, and it was late on a Friday night. That was the other tough thing about it too, is that, like, you know, you're just like, the crew is just like, I just want to go home, man. Yeah. Not as funny as you guys think it is. It was 10 times funnier to us. You know, and but that is, like, I have to say, like, I mean, that's one of the things that kind of fuels me with that show, is my goal almost all of the time, anytime I'm doing a scene, is to try and make the other actors in the scene fake, to try to make them laugh. Yeah. Because I just enjoy that. That's the most gratifying thing. That's when I know it's going well. But also just because, it just keeps it fresh and funny to me to constantly. I mean, that's why we're always ad-libbing and improvising, and you know, I mean, I also love that blooper scene between us, the sketch artist and us, because
it's great.
That's,
I mean,
really, how much we. The script is the same, but you can see every take is totally different.
And there's just turns on it. When you're trying to convince Charlie, you know, when he's eating cat food, and you say, because you're not a cat,
right?
And the delivery is, and it just cracks them up. You know, that's to me, that's everything.
Well, and
It wasn't in the script. It was just something that came out.
And
in the moment.
We saw the improvisation firsthand when we went out to L.A. to film our scenes with you guys, because Rob and Charlie were there, and we're delivering our lines, and they'd say, well, say this. And I'm like, but that's not what you wrote for us to say. I worked on these lines.
You're allowed to desecrate your own writing.
Yes, exactly. You are allowed to do that. Yeah. But I didn't know.
Somebody else's stuff, but I have to say, on AP Bio, Mike O'Brien, the show's creator, is totally, totally cool with me improvising and ad-libbing.
You know, great.
He's grown to trust that we have the same sense of humor and that I understand the character the way that he does, and so, you know, luckily they give me quite a bit of freedom on there to throw things in every once in a while.
Before we let you go, Glenn, what's the status on El Tonto, which was written and directed by Charlie Day, and you're in as well?
Yeah. Well, so he had to do some reshoots on that. And I think he's actually, I know he's finishing editing it in the next, like, 2 weeks, I think. So he's actually still editing that. It's a beast of a movie. I mean, there's a ton of characters in it. You know, I've seen early cuts of it, and there's some really, really, I mean, it's really, really, really funny. And it is like nothing else. I mean, it's kind of amazing what he was able to pull off with that movie. So I'm excited for people to see it, but I have no idea when it's going to be actually coming out.
We're looking forward to that, and it's great news, especially if you haven't checked out AP Bio, that you have this way of accessing it. It is it has my stamp of approval, if that means anything. It's hilarious, and I'm sure people will be checking it out.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, man. It does. I love hearing that, and I'm hearing it more and more. I think people are really kind of dropping into it, and starting to really kind of, you know, drop into the world and the unique sense of humor of the show.
Love it. AP Bio Season 3, which is streaming now on Peacock. Glenn, always a treat. Thanks for coming on this morning, man.
Yeah, it's great talking to you guys. Hopefully we'll see each other soon.
Yes. Love that. Yeah, Glenn Howerton, guys. Yeah. Take care, Glenn. We'll see you. That's excellent. He's awesome. He's awesome. And he's right that the improv, like, just changing constantly. They'll do takes of lines and then let's do it again. And then just completely change it up over and over and over. And then something happens. It's just hilarious.
It's what makes it magical. There's the episode that's fairly recent, Casey, that, you know, where they're going to the human resources people about, you know, about sexual improprieties in the office and so on and so forth. And Charlie's talking about it. His uncle molested. Well, he didn't actually, you know, molest me. And you know, Dennis is going, oh, no. He got in there. And they just can't collect it. It's just great.
All right. You know what? We haven't even done the bizarre
file. Oh, my God.
We'll do a quickie.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Sequoia Outback Falls. Perfect time for enjoying dinner on the patio or drinks on the deck. And you can get your yard ready with the end of season showroom clearance sale at Sequoia Outback. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Route 309 in Hatfield or decksupplies.com. Make it your regular Saturday.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
By the way, that's not part of the commercial.
No.
All right. Arlington County police have arrested a man they say is the cyclist behind a series of trail rage incidents.
Trail rage.
On local trails. On Friday, the police department issued a community warning about a middle-aged man who had aggressively cursed at, mooned, and in some cases struck pedestrians in at least 5 separate incidents along trails in Arlington.
So what's he so upset about?
Police say they received numerous tips over the weekend which led them to identify the suspect. And on the evening of Sunday, September 6th, police executed a search warrant at the suspect's residence and took him into custody without incident. David Marlowe was arrested and charged with robbery, assault and battery, indecent exposure, multiple counts, and felony possession with the intent to distribute marijuana. Marlowe is accused of striking several people in fits of rage, attempting to steal one victim's cell phone, and exposing his buttocks on numerous occasions.
Mm.
On the marijuana charge, Kane's charge against him was not further explained in the press release. I'm guessing they probably found it when they went to
his
house.
That's probably, yeah.
the same suspect might be behind similar incidents on other trails, and police say they're continuing to investigate and are seeking additional information on the case. Steve, no word on why he wigs out on the trail.
Ah, that's the kind of place where I think you get sort of relaxed.
Exactly. A French tourist has been ordered to pay $1,200 in fines after attempting to fly out of Sardinia with more than 4 pounds of local sand in his luggage.
The second Sardinia reference in the show today.
That's right. We were talking about the
prisoner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Italian island's idyllic white sand is protected, and tourists face fines and even jail time for removing it from local beaches.
Just the way to the beach, and we're down 4 pounds.
The unnamed man was apprehended after he was found in possession of a bottle containing 4.4 pounds of sand.
What is this? This is a bottle. It's a sum of our sand.
A spokesman for the island's forest rangers told CNN the bottle was confiscated and is now in our operating room where we hold these confiscated items. At the end of the year, we usually have many bottles of sand accumulated. In 2017, a regional
law... That's their evidence room. It's full of sand instead of heroin and guns.
In 2017, a regional law was introduced that made it illegal to take sand from Sardinia's beaches. Fines range between $600 to $3,500, depending on the quantity taken and where it was removed from.
Is there a specific attribute to Sardinian sand that makes it attractive?
The regulations were introduced because the incidents were becoming more frequent and increasingly problematic. So, well, the beaches are, they have colored pink or very white sand.
Oh, okay.
In some of them. So they're unique looking. And, yeah.
People there's a beach in Bermuda. I think it's called Elbow Beach. The sand is of the consistency of flour.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So people take it all the time.
I've seen black sand beaches in Hawaii. So there are a few different ones color-wise. All right. One last story, and then we'll wrap it up. A bride has been branded trashy after she reportedly ended up brawling in a field on her wedding day, surrounded by passed-out guests. A video circulated online appears to show people looking on in horror as the fight exploded soon after the ceremony, with the bride apparently rolling around on the grass while still wearing her wedding dress. The incident is thought
God damn, that was good!
The incident was thought to have taken place in Wales. But the footage is yet to be verified. One man can be heard calling the police to the brawl. And the camera starts by showing a woman seemingly passed out on the floor, then pans to the grass where the bride can be seen fighting with numerous people before stomping off, still wearing her veil. The video was captioned, "Yes, that's the bride brawling in the meadow," and it's racked up hundreds of appalled comments. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file. Secret text word, Kath. Let's get a winner. What number caller you want? Kathy.
Sorry, my garage door is open for some reason. Okay. Caller number 20.
Is that code for something?
Yeah. No, I just got a text, so I don't know what's happening.
Garage door is open.
Caller number 20, 215-263-WMMR. We need to know the secret text word.
My weed whacker.
We'll be back in a moment.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We were looking for our secret text word. Caller was number 20 that Kathy picked, so I'm going to go to Brian for the answer. Hey, Brian, are you there, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. All right, Brian, what is our secret text word?
The word is Otisburg.
Otisburg. Yeah. Otisburg. You are correct, Brian. Hang on, and we're going to give you a digital download of Supergirl, the complete fifth season. It's not a bird or a plane or a man. Supergirl continues to defend National City, the world, and her loved ones in the action-packed Supergirl, the complete fifth season. You can own it now on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD. And we are also going to set Ethan Smodish of Bethlehem up because he was our random texter that we grabbed. And so he gets the Supergirl complete fifth season as well. So there you go. Thank you. Everything good?
Garage okay?
Okay.
What now?
No, your garage door.
Your garage. You were worried. You were,
yeah. Oh, no, I just went to the bathroom.
Okay.
I don't know about my garage door. No one's there.
Oh, sorry to hear that. We're going to do the lesson question.
You want to give out your address?
Or... Yes, you stop on by.
Go close it.
If you could organize the garage, that would be great while you're there.
Is it out of sorts right now?
Everything's out of sorts. I hate it. I can't take it.
Oh, my God.
I need to, go on an organizing spree. Sorry.
You're going
to
do.
Carry on.
All right. Lesson question. We are going to give away a... Yeah.
Huh?
Wait a minute. I gave away the wrong... I gave away the wrong prize earlier this morning for the stupid question.
What'd you give away?
I gave away a Rita's gift card. That's the lesson question.
Whatever. No, you didn't. You read the wrong prize, but you gave away the right one.
Okay. All right, good. So we're giving away a $50 Rita's gift card. I'm like, I gave that away this morning. Let's see. Let's go with this one. What does a 90-year-old nun's club foot smell like, apparently? 215-263-WMMR. I think there's two possible answers here. So let's see if you know. What does a 90-year-old nun's club foot smell like?
It's true.
This is my favorite part of today's show, by the way. Let's see if you know the answer. 215-263-WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, and it's brought to you by your local Dietz and Watson Real Philly. Delis are open for takeout. You can taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local business. RealPhillyDeli.com. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kim Kardashian announcing that her family's reality show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, will be ending after the upcoming 20th season. Kim says that the family made the decision to end the show when the time was right and then wait 19 years.
Yeah. Hey!
ABC beginning production on The Bachelor with numerous COVID-19 mitigation plans in effect. Producers say the cast should not have to fear for their health and should focus on having unprotected sex.
Yeah.
Hey, hey!
And finally, Harrison Ford caught receiving a passionate kiss from wife Calista Flockhart after he landed their airplane at an airport in California. Apparently, Calista was certain they were going to die. And that's your Hollywood Drag.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Let's see if we can get an answer to the lesson question. What does a 90-year-old nun's club foot smell like, apparently? 215-263-WMMR. I'll go to Scott. Hey, Scott.
Scott.
Hey.
Hey, Scott. What does a 90-year-old nun's club foot smell like?
Butterscotch.
Yes. Yeah. Butterscotch is correct. Hang on. We're going to give you a $50 Rita's gift card. Summer is still on in full force at Rita's. You can head to Rita's for all your favorite delicious frozen treats. It's the summer of yum at Rita's.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yeah.
All right. I have a few drummer stories this morning, which I'm always happy to pass along. Tribute to Neil Peart will take place this weekend online with such heavyweights as Stuart Copeland, Foo Fighters' Taylor Hawkins, Red Hot Chili Peppers' Chad Smith, Chicago's Danny Serafine, and Cindy Blackman Santana set to perform. Neil, of course, died on January 7th at the age of 67 after battling brain cancer.
Any Mike Portnoy?
Yes, Mike will be involved in this. Yeah. Yep. Rolling Stone reported the Live X Live Modern Drummer Festival 2020, a tribute to Neil Peart, will run this Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and will be available to watch on Fite.tv, F-I-T-E.tv.
Huh.
A ticket to the pay-per-view event costs $12.99 and lets you stream the show from your phone, tablet, or computer. You can also watch it on your TV through the Fight TV app, which lets you cast the action on your screen via Apple TV, Roku, Streaming Stick, Fire TV, and more. Among other performers are Korn's Ray Luzier, I think is how he pronounces his last name, Thomas Lang, Dom Famularo, who's a clinician I used to go see as a kid, Carmine Appice, who's been here in our studio. Styx's Todd Shookerman, who is an awesome drummer. Kenny Aronoff, who we've had on. Greg Bissonette, who used to be with the David Lee Roth Band and worked with everybody, currently in Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. And a YouTuber who I've told you guys about, Christina Shiano.
Wow.
I told you about
her. Yeah,
she's
absolutely
great.
That's
so cool. She's part of that as well.
Huh, what about Tom Thompson?
He wasn't invited, so no. However, he has his own tribute that maybe he'll be sharing soon.
Yeah.
And it will also feature appearances by Carl Palmer, Eric Singer from Kiss, Mike Portnoy, as you had mentioned, Steve, among others. So that is taking place on Saturday.
No Tom Wopat?
No Tom Wopat. And it's his birthday, too.
Yeah, I know.
That's really strange.
All right.
In an interview, Marilyn Manson opened up about his life during COVID-19 and the pandemic. When asked how his day-to-day life has been affected by the pandemic, he said, well, I think that it's in some way fortunate for me as someone who has to live with this, like everyone else, that I don't really like going outside and socializing that much, aside from touring. That does leave a hole in my emotions because I'm so attached to it. I guess a routine of that, and plus the love for being able to sing and perform in front of people, is missing. He said, but I really tried to focus on making more art. I will admit that I've watched probably more television than I need to and films, but I've tried to make it productive. I've tried to compile my art book that's coming out later this year, and I did the artwork for the album. All of the album, it should be noted, will be finished probably in January. So he's working on some creative things. Slipknot drummer Jay Weinberg, son of Max Weinberg.
Yes.
Has teamed with Vader. They make drumsticks, by the way, to release a new signature drumstick on the occasion of his 30th birthday, which was yesterday. Not coincidentally, the drumsticks are called the 908 to commemorate both his birthday and the area code in which he grew up and began playing drums. Weinberg said the 908 feels familiar in the ways that drummers who play intense and heavy music need, but as extra consideration for the quickness and response we want from our drums and cymbals. The signature stick is available at your local music equipment retailer and online at Vater.com.
Is that D or T?
It's T.
Okay.
Yep. Here's another drummer story. A new special titled Brian Johnson Meets Dave Grohl is set to premiere on September 17th on the UK's Sky Arts channel. Sky Arts will become free to air later this month, allowing all viewers to watch it at no extra cost. The show's official description reads,
It's a meeting of rock legends as AC/DC frontman Brian Johnson meets Foo Fighters lead singer and former Nirvana drummer Dave Grohl at Foo's L.A. studio to share stories about life on the road.
So I assume Grohl is a fan.
Yeah. It's a sit-down with those...
sit-around.
It's a sit-around, yes. And then one last thing, a new Ozzy Osbourne Funko Pop was released last night. Yeah. The vinyl figure is inspired by the cover art for his latest album called Ordinary Man.
We were going to have Funko Pops made of us, and it kind of fell through.
Yeah, did that?
Mm-hmm. Well, not important.
They are available exclusively at Hot Topic, by the way. And that's it. That's all I have for you in music news this morning. Oh, hey, there's a new Daily Rush video. I've just been handed this. It says, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is ending. That's from this morning.
Oh, my God, how fast is Nick Murphy?
Nick Murphy. It says, the description is, nothing is over, but this is over, hopefully. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So if you will, please check that out. We're going to take a break, our last break. When we return, wrapping things up, letter of the day, word of the week, Pierre Robert, continuing the A to Z. One more song from us. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Can't find another reason why this one hurts. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We are wrapping up today's program. I want to thank Glenn Howerton for being on the show. AP Bio, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Glenn is a great guy, talented guy, funny guy, nice person, so... We were happy to have him on this morning. And thank you for playing Preston Elliott's rock trivia game that no one wants to play. So.
Yeah! It's a fun game.
I personally have fun doing that because I love trivia-based games. I never play them because nobody in my house likes to play trivia-based games.
I know. Or
it's all classic rock stuff and, you know, my kids aren't, they're not up to speed on that stuff. So I have nobody to play with.
You got some work to do.
I know. You and I should play sometime.
Let's do it.
That would be fun.
Oh, there we go.
Right after we go hunting.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How's your trivia game? Because you have a pretty broad base of knowledge when it comes to rock, obviously, rock and roll. But how's your game when it comes to trivia?
I have a broad base of knowledge, but it's very thin.
Okay. It's shallow and broad?
Wide.
It's like a pancake.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
It's wide but thin.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Do you have any of the cards over there, Steve?
I do.
Pull a random question out for Pierre.
Let's get you something good here.
There's something random.
This won't go well.
2 seconds. All right.
Preston Elliott's Rock Trivia Game!
Okay, this is actually perfect.
Okay.
What continent were the Grateful Dead touring when they recorded their iconic 1972 live album?
Europe.
Exactly.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. All right, don't go any further.
Let's stop while we're ahead.
Stop while we're ahead. Europe 72.
I figured that would be a sure. And that's
God bless you for picking that one, lad.
Well done, sir. Well done. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Yes, good. We're having the A to Z is, I mean, it's moving fast.
It is.
I think, kind of, you know, in the P's. You know, and we've done, I think, very well. You know, if you look back on some of the wild things, you know, when you tune in at various times of day, the things you hear, you go, what? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. You know, and every so often we'll, you know, somebody say, well, you missed that or you missed that. And we like to say, well, think about the ones we do get, you know, and then also like at the very beginning of the numbers, we did miss 1999 from Prince, which was a big miss, but we've missed several years in a row, 1984 from David Bowie. And we got that this year.
Right? Yeah.
So we catch up with one, we might lose another.
That's a fair assessment. Yes.
But this year, I don't know if you heard this, and I've been meaning to bring this up with you in conversation. We did all of 21-12 on vinyl.
All of it.
Side one.
Outstanding.
So temples of Syrinx, climbing mountains Syrinx. Of doom, right. canals of canaries, yeah. you know, lords of
Flatbush.
Yeah, Flatbush and giant crystals of Zamagon. All of those.
All part all of the 2112.
All yeah. of part of 2112. Sure. We did the whole gosh darn thing.
Wow.
Yeah. On you know vinyl. What?
Because Pancake had texted me about that, and he showed me it was a picture of the vinyl, and I was taking a nap while it was going on because it was shortly. It was at the beginning, you know, okay, and we had gotten done with the day, and I went home and I took a nap, and I woke up and I saw that, and I said, "Excuse me, first of all," and then I said I was napping, but he didn't indicate that it was the whole main song, the opening. I forgot how they refer to it, but that entire first side,
like the overture or whatever it is.
Yeah,
we often all just do that beginning part, you know, which is about 10-12 minutes.
Yeah, usually it's overture into Temples of the Syrinx, right. and then that's it. But then there's discovery and
when mountains
and
of doom and
okay, yes, you know, the
canaries in a coal mine and all of those things,
mm-hmm.
chapters of Zippy Dop, and yeah, that's very yeah. important.
And Lords of Flatbush.
Oh, yeah, and Lords of Flatbush.
I love it.
They were into it.
That's excellent.
But we played it all on vinyl, and it was fun.
That's
because
excellent.
It was scratchy, you know, and it came to the end of one, and then there was a gap. And Chuck had insisted that we get the whole thing on this year. So Chuck's done a phenomenal job. And we were using a different computer system, so we had to put all the things in a different computer system. So have patience, but we're doing well, I think.
Did Bill have concerns about playing that entire side? Or
His doctor was with him the entire time, feeding him. He was on a Valium drip.
He appeared to be having a seizure yesterday yeah. when I walked past.
Was wheeled down to the studio and by Dr. Doom himself. And but he had a sippy cup because he was slurping and drooling. And he said, why are we doing 2112? Why are we doing 2112, the whole thing? I said, Chuck wanted it.
Right. He did. Yeah. Well, and you know, so, you have to understand, program directors get nervous mm-hmm. when you do those types of things. When you play these longer songs, it's just in their nature.
Right. But to his credit, you know, he still signed off on it.
Yeah.
Even though it made him nervous.
Yeah.
Well, he felt once
he still signed off on me, even though I make him nervous.
Well, I'll be waiting for Xanadu when we get towards the end of the alphabet, because that's a nice 12-minute long song, and it's
YYZ
excellent.
Too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Sorry, that's what true. Saying, Steve, I
interrupted. No. He just puts his Annabelle doll on his lap and sucks his thumb, and he's like,
"Hey, feels better."
He's in Wisconsin today, so you can do
he
it.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're good to go,
boy.
Oh no.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, a joy has sprung into my heart that was not there prior. Not that I wasn't joyful, but now I'm buoyantly joyful.
It's the rest of the week, I believe.
Oh!
Interesting.
Annabelle.
Yes. All right, well, we should do the letter. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
yep. I had it, but E. Let's go with E.
Right.
E is in Ethel.
All right, and we are going to give away a Pizeek round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block. And Landis Block, you can start imagining your backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery online at landisbc.com. What would you like to tease about your show today, sir?
Well, we're into the peas, as you mentioned. The panes are done, but we've got paint. And we will travel to another country. We will have some panic, some papas, some papers, and things of that nature.
I love it. I love it. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the President and Steve Show. And Reese's Peanut Butter Mudslide Treats. You can get those at Rita's. So thank you, Rita's. And also by Sequoia Outback. Experience the ultimate in outdoor living, decksupplies.com. Tomorrow on the program, Caitlin Bristow will be joining us. Caitlin Bristow is the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
She will be on the show. And we'll find out what other kind of trouble we can get into. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. Enjoy your time with the A to Z and Pierre. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
I just got bit by a spider on my neck. It was huge. And it hurts and stings. It burns like a motherfucker. I think I'm going to turn into Spider-Man after this. It's going to be so cool.
Next message.
Hey, Bandit. This is Little Beaver. Keep your foot on the floor. We got your back door.
Next message.
Willy Wonka flipping the f*** out, man, is by far one of the best movie scenes ever. Could you imagine if he was able to curse, though? He'd be like, you f***head, f*** you asshole, you stole my s***, you piece of s***, you f***ing stole 50 lifting grids, you f***. Now I gotta pay to have that s*** clean, you f***ing prick. Get the f*** out of my office. You're fired.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.